You're listening to Q Talk Arizona. The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. This show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee on Q Talk Arizona. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Well, good evening, America, and all the ships at sea. It's 7 o'clock. It's Tuesday night. It's the show with me. I'm Clayton McKee, right here from Q-Talk America. We're broadcasting live from the Q-Talk America studios in the heart of Central Phoenix. Along with us each and every Tuesday, we have a cast of friends and foes. Well, they're mostly friends. It just depends on how much liquor is involved. It is the faux level. A woman who is simultaneously beginning the second season of The Walking Dead and prepping for a doomsday zombie apocalypse. It's Katie June.
Hi. Welcome back.
Also, a lady who is just now starting to understand Twitter. Hashtag duh. It's Marnie Ryer.
Hashtag what?
Hashtag yeah. Duh.
What hashtag I should say?
I like your new trend. I like your new trend of writing hashtag. It out. Yeah.
Yes. And a man who enjoys the wondering of if he's out of furniture polish and comparing it to the reality that he really never does, it's Al Perkins.
So where is the dust polish going to go in that story?
It's going to stay under the sink.
Yeah, unless the dusting gnomes have been in my house.
Who does clean your... Well, apparently you did recently, I heard.
Oh, I did that. Top to bottom. Top to bottom.
And then he cleaned the house.
And all the ships at sea. And the best part was, and then I made my guests sit outside. So today, my house was clean.
I did realize that. He cleaned the whole house and we sat on the back porch.
Yeah. But I had cleaned that too. And I only cleaned it because I wasn't sure about your mom's smoke. See, I did so many lovely things for people.
You were very kind.
Nice. Yeah, so I
thought.
People
sweet.
Should acknowledge you for these wonderful things you do.
Because I'm only thoughtful like twice a century. So
this ain't
look
coming
for
around
next
again.
One, yeah.
About as often as he uses his dishwasher.
Yeah, that was the other thing. Does that fucker still work?
Well, apparently twice a year, I think we use that. When Oscar party and Thanksgiving, and that's
it. Yeah, I was trying to remember when the last time I turned that on.
I think it was the Oscar party. Just a guess. Well, hello, my gosh, friends. We're all back here for this Tuesday before Thanksgiving. I think all the ballots, I still don't think all the ballots have been counted, but I don't care. I saw some news report about the fact that they still weren't all counted, but I'm
not
sure. What the fuck is that?
I don't know.
There's one race outstanding, right? And it probably has to go to...
Eric Meyer was just called today, so he's state representative Senate.
Are we happy about that?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think on the nationwide the nationwide House, there was one outstanding that probably is going to have to go to a recall.
That's crazy.
North Carolina or California?
You know, I don't know. I've been at sea.
I know. You've been... Yeah.
I have been on a ship at sea.
So I guess before we get too deep in the political bullshit, we might as well go around the table as we always do and find out what everybody's been up to. And when we last left our cast of the show, Katie was on her way out the fucking country. Not the state, the country.
Not your passport?
So Katie, you're back on dry land.
Well, barely. I'm back, but my, like... wits about me are not back. I am still taking Dramamine. It is 3 days post cruise.
Marty singing Billy Ocean again.
Oh, Lord Almighty. I'm going to need some more pills.
Get out of my wits. Get into the Bahamas.
Oh. Sorry. That's going to make me more sick.
So you,
I'm going to get sick again.
Oh, that
well,
one.
How rude.
There so you should
have your manners back. I guess so.
So you've... No. That's good.
Holy
so
shit.
When you left, you were getting a list of movies that you were to have watched while you flew.
Very
did you do
good.
Did you accomplish any of that?
I downloaded them, and I have to tell you, I didn't because when
you were on vacation.
Let me tell you. So when we fly, this is a real perk of being a Kelly Flating's partner is that we get bumped up to first class.
Nice.
Because she travels a lot.
Uh-huh.
So along with getting bumped up to first class means Katie is cocktailing as soon as I sit on the plane. Now, we are like the first to board. And you know those waitresses. They come around.
Those waitresses.
Those air waitresses.
Love that when you do that. Brenda, my friend Brenda does that. She's like, waitress. She got really drunk. They got mad.
They come around first thing. Like before the rest of the plane is set and they ask if I want a drink. And of course I do. It's free.
You're still loading luggage on this motherfucker.
Yes,
give me a drink.
I would like a vodka and orange juice.
Sure. Dad. for round one.
Yeah.
That is your God-given right in first class.
I keep them coming. It is. And I'll tell you this, our flight attendant, she was so good. I said, well, I don't know if I should have another. And she goes, well, you have a designated driver.
That's cute. That's
we were. I yeah. like
it. And he's only had one.
Yeah, so. He may or may not be hammered as well. Yeah. You just don't know that.
But don't worry about it. Here, have another drink.
Yeah, I saw this movie. If this plane goes upside down, what's my plan B?
I'm going to be passed out, so it doesn't matter. Right. Yeah, I'm going to be passed out. So I can only watch so much on a plane when I'm in first class, because usually I'm passed out halfway through the flight. And I have been obsessed with The Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah.
So I watched nothing else but The Walking Dead, and then like crazy was just crazy zombie apocalypsing all over my computer.
No, okay. Is that on Showtime?
It's no, it's AMC. It's free cable. Fucking cable.
I can still watch that.
Cable. Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So I should.
Yes. Oh my God.
Season one is very short. And how they get you in is season one was only 6 episodes.
Okay.
And it's Frank Darabont who did the Stephen King. He did the Shawshank Redemption.
Oh,
he
I
did
love that.
The Green Mile. He usually usually specializes in Stephen King adaptations.
Yeah, all
he brought that to life and then they fired him.
I've seen.
Yeah, he brought that to life and then he got fired after the second season.
Oh, no.
But season two is not as good as season one. But season one's 6 episodes. You're like, ooh, I can bang this show
out
in like a
and
day.
And I couldn't even bang it out because I had to. I would,
well, you had a child. No, you're right.
That's what he said.
That's terrible.
Because I would watch 20 minutes and I was, I'm not kidding you guys, terrified.
Yeah, it's very scary.
So I would have to turn it off and watch like a couple minutes of Parks and Rec. And then I would, you know, and get like my stupid in. And then I would go back to it and watch another 20 minutes. And I had to shut it off every 20 minutes or so. I was honest to God
terrified.
Season
two is a little less scary, a little more chatty. But season three, like you got to catch up because
that's what my cousin said.
Crazy shit going on. Crazy, crazy, crazy.
I can't
wait. You know what? The couple girls at work watch it. But I was like, and I, you know, I don't like to do spoilers and I don't like to go on the fanboy sites because you get like one answer and you end up with
and
people
then you
ruining
want,
plots.
Well, then you can't then you stop all, yourself. Yeah, you I can't stop myself.
But the geeks all know too much. Like they ruined Dexter for me last season
because
I decided, oh, I can play with these fanboys and see what's going on.
Yeah,
and they're like,
no.
They have ins, they know people and they love to be the lorded over you that they already know how the season's going to go.
Yeah, then they tell you.
So I had to ask a question because I'm like, I don't know what I'm looking at here.
Oh, gosh.
So I was like trying to find, I'm like, who is caught up on this fucking show?
And that was Dexter or that was for Walking Dead?
For Walking Dead.
Okay. It's
horrifying.
Oh,
I gave up on Dexter a long time. Finding someone who watches Dexter in real time is just impossible.
Yeah.
I'm all alone.
Yeah. You're on
I found
island.
Somebody in Vegas last year who we got drunk and talked about Dexter. I'm like, this is like sex to me. You realize that, right?
Matt Little watches it and tried to get me into it. And I watched a couple episodes and I'm like, yeah, I got nothing for
into
you.
Into Dexter, nothing. I did one episode, and I was kind of just...
It's the second best show on TV right now.
Oh, God.
Because of Homeland. Homeland came in and stole its thunder.
Marnie, you notice how you and I got nothing to do with this?
No, yeah. And I'm so nothing. Sorry, but I... You
no,
guys
no, there's
tried.
No reason to be sorry.
We normally don't.
Because it's obsessed. I'm obsessed.
Normal.
Like, Kelly is done with me. We walked... when we deboarded the plane yesterday, and it's already like a shit show at Phoenix Sky Harbor, which, by the way, is the coolest airport going.
No, it is. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, my gosh. Who knew? We went to the airport.
People who fly, they know.
Yeah. We went to the airport, and I sat at, like, this completely sexy... Yes!
Yeah,
and this
nice.
Completely sexy, cool restaurant. It was Blanco or one of the Fox restaurants. And I, like, had a super delicious breakfast burrito, like an actual restaurant food. And there was... they have... it was just, like, all these
Barrio
restaurants.
Cafe
Barrio
is
Cafe
there.
Is there.
Mm-hmm. NYPD is going in there.
It's Chelsea's
fancy,
Kitchen is there?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was so cool.
Actually, they've been on a push for that for a while to get more restaurants because what happens is because we're such a big airline and we're just a not necessarily a destination spot, but it's just a big hub for a lot of places. People waiting to catch planes are looking for something more than, you know, Sbarro's pizza and anything on a stick. They're looking for something to sit down, have a beer, have a nice
meal. Now the delays
meal.
Are real.
Oh, my gosh.
Right.
And they have to tell you that there's delays. So you want somewhere nice.
I'm right. All set with a delay
now,
if I'm at Phoenix Sky
now,
Harbor.
Are those restaurants behind? Do you have to come out of the secured area or are they behind the secured area?
There are some. They're both. Both.
Oh, yeah, you can, right.
Because Chelsea's Kitchen was in right when you just come up. So even if you're waiting for somebody, it was so good.
You guys keep talking. I'm talking to her.
I can't multitask.
Right.
So anyway, but as we got to the airport yesterday and we're debarking, disembarking the plane.
Ooh, disembarking.
And we come down to the
word.
Baggage claim, and I looked at Kelly, and it was insane. I'm like, oh my God, this is what the zombie apocalypse is going to look like. And
it
she
is.
Goes, I was like, brace yourself. You know, I'm like getting ready to go in, and I can't stop it. After the first episode, I said, okay, well, when the zombie apocalypse comes, because it's coming, you guys, don't make no mistake. It is coming. And when it does,
and you don't know. I can't even give
you the
best line.
No, don't tell me anything.
Fuck.
Because I was like, I'm just going to put a bullet through your head and Palmer's head and then my own. Like, I'm killing us, like, immediately. First sign
really pretty intense.
Of a zombie apocalypse, I'm killing my whole family. Like, now?
Oh, yeah.
I'm now, wait,
have they made it to the command center and had the thing whispered in his ear?
Okay, but I don't know what was whispered
okay,
yet.
All right, then. Well, I almost ruined it for you.
This is like the final battle.
You guys, it is crazy. Well, and we're on the plane. Kelly's watching The Vampire Diaries, and I'm watching like zombie shit show, and I'm laughing, going,
zombie
we are insane.
Shit show.
So she's ready to survive vampires.
<Everything. laughs>
Yeah.
I'm going to either stake you or shoot you, but somehow, head or heart.
I am, now I'm prepared with my, and then I was downloading that horrible show on, God, I don't even remember what network was.
You're downloading Preppers? Something that you call the horrible show.
No, it's called Doomsday Preppers. And it's these crazy people that prep for, they have their whole basement is full of food and
they're
water.
Called they're called Mormons. They're called Mormons, exactly.
I'm doing that. With machetes. Like, now I'm not going to kill myself anymore. Now I'm starting to get hip to the zombies.
60
drive.
Seconds later, you're not going to kill yourself now. Okay,
no.
Good.
Jeez, anyway.
Palmer lives. Kelly lives in this story. Good. We're all.
So, Cruise Schmooze. I'm way more into my new zombie obsession.
Got it. Wow.
So, hi. Welcome back.
Welcome back. Great. We're now taking applications for a fourth member of our show. This has nothing to do at all with the Mayan calendar, right? Nothing?
No, not that I know of. No.
Okay, totally different. Got it. All right.
And I told you about that day that it was so hot and I was just driving around my neighborhood. And we'd reached that point in Phoenix where it's so hot that people just have that look on their face and they're just walking around in a stupor. And like somebody almost walked in front of my car and then
at the
closed down Fry's at 17th Avenue, people were just walking aimlessly. I'm like, it's the zombie apocalypse.
It's happening at former Fry's.
I realize it's just because it's 120 degrees outside and they forgot their umbrellas, but
I saw a guy at Fry's today, actually, who was walking around that same face holding his motorcycle helmet. And I don't know what the deal was. I mean, he was just older, but with this long Drew face and just wandering through the aisles. And I ran the other
That's
way.
Kind of creepy.
Yeah. Like I turned around and booked it from this crazy shopper.
See, I don't know that it's a zombie apocalypse, but Aaron and I were at a Fry's as well. Maybe it's Fry's.
That
one that's closed at 17th Avenue in Camelback,
they had
to close it because of a zombie problem.
Oh, that's right. I do recall hearing about some weird shit like that.
The people in there were just fucking
actually,
weird.
But that entire area looks like it could be.
Could be. Because
it's like the field across from us, there's vacant. I realize Tyler from Tennessee doesn't give a shit about a vacant lot in Central Phoenix.
But he might watch The Walking Dead.
He should. Actually,
and if you
want to
be a real
Tyler
crack
Tennessee.
Addict, afterwards there's a show called The Talking Dead.
I can't wait.
Where for 30 minutes they talk about the episode.
So only one set walks, the other set talks. Is that how that works?
Yes. Sure.
Okay, good. All right, I know how that works. Okay. Well, welcome back to dry land, Katie June.
Thank you.
Did Palmer miss you, or could you tell?
She did, I think.
Because you realize your mom spoiled the shit out of her. While you were gone.
Oh yeah, she got to watch TV all the time and her videos. And
stay up
outside,
late,
and she did. Yeah. And I know my mom.
Oh,
was
are you
going to
be
dessert.
One of those no TV moms? Even though you're
I'm
completely
trying.
Hooked on every TV
I know!
Show.
I'm trying.
That is the best. It's like when Harrison tells everybody how she doesn't watch TV. No, she just watches it on her computer as well.
Right. It's but not she'll on give, an actual
yeah,
TV.
She'll it's give, not a TV, right.
She'll give me this big speech about this glamorous life of no TV. She's just watching it on
totally
a computer.
Me.
Right.
We have Palmer's listening to classical music in the background, playing with her blocks and getting getting all mathified. And I'm like hiding in the corner watching zombies.
So Harrison and I share a Netflix account.
Oh, Harrison.
So I'll go on and
I'm glad I'm not alone.
She'll be like, I don't watch TV. And I'm like, well, you watch this show and this show and this show and this show.
Yeah. I'm glad I'm not alone.
For some reason, in the chat room. By the way, you can join us in the chat room. Go to QTalkAmerica.com/chat to join us. Also, Harrison says that her connection is really slow tonight. Is she stealing it from a neighbor? I don't. I just was curious. She won't hear that
Perhaps.
For 2 minutes.
Yeah.
There you go, right?
Yeah, she's
go
on.
Go ahead and answer it.
Extra delay. Marnie Ryer.
Yes.
What have you been doing?
Well,
I'm sure you got. Okay, go.
Just a couple things.
All right.
I wanted to, will you read this for me?
What? That's a pie chart. Is it one of my pie charts?
I just can't do this.
Do not follow that up.
Not going to.
You don't need these because I'm
Linda Williams. I don't do this. Yeah. I'll do it.
These are called clocks for the hours of the programming we do. I need to revise them for hour three, right, which will just be one solid circle of nothing.
Okay,
right.
Well, I wanted to bring it for Katie.
I have
joke.
To give Katie a. Yeah.
I'll take that.
Yeah. No.
Oh, no. I need to do new ones. We need to make copies.
I have to do new ones.
Yeah.
Our format has changed.
It has. Now, last night was lovely, and I just want to give the nod to the fine host, to Mr. Perkins.
Well, thank you so much.
Absolutely wonderful.
It was wonderful. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
While you were fighting your sea legs.
Yeah. You still are. But just in case, my mom and I, you know, were with you last night and had just a lovely time. And Clayton, just in case mom wasn't clear.
Fuck you.
Last night, fuck off, hashtag.
Okay. Okay. Wait a minute.
She was leaving for work this morning, and she says to me,
oh, God,
by the way, look at Clayton. The minute you get there, say, fuck off.
So, okay, my mother, who's listening, will appreciate this. Now, okay, this is a story that goes back some time.
See, and you should have come. We had a great time, Diane. You should have come and joined us.
We missed you, Diane. We'll see you there.
So, okay, so at the at the end of the night, we were sitting around a round table on Al's back porch, having a lovely time, and Marnie's mom, Diane, who, don't confuse, my mom is also named Diane, so she gets up, and your mom, I loved it, your mom was the most comfortable person at that thing. Mm-hmm. She had whatever those shoes are.
I don't know. They were just Jason was in pajamas.
He was, but
and yeah. I was in
yeah,
rags.
I mean, she had her, it was like her eating dress, yeah, so that she could be comfortable. She did not want to wear like pants.
Very, I love that she has an eating dress. Every woman should.
Very comfortable. I'd not seen your mom get up the entire time been there, and for some reason, she stood up and came to hug me, and I said, I just love a person who doesn't give a whim about fashion. which was an indirect way to say, gosh, you look comfortable.
Yeah.
So,
right. Or something. Right.
So yeah. I don't recall the story, but with my mom, it's either my mom said it to my aunt or my aunt said it to somebody. I forgot what it was. But the second I said that, your mom flipped me off.
Oh, yeah.
She put her finger in my face and just like, here, can you see this?
Oh,
I was laughing so hard. I was crying. I was laughing so hard.
And it really was like, because Jason Carlton showed up basically in sweatpants and a dirty t-shirt.
Yeah.
And I'd been cleaning and cooking all day. And I kept saying, oh, I'm going to go in the room and change into like something more presentable. But I'm like, I'm either going to spill food or red wine on myself.
Right.
So I smelled like dust and turkey.
Or not like to be confused with the dusty turkey.
Or like the first pilgrim. Yeah.
Not to be confused.
The very first pilgrim?
Yeah.
I think the first pilgrim is good.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good call.
Oh, so to add to that story, so I was feeling my oats apparently that night, and I'm not trying to interrupt what you did for the past week. So you and your mother left after I made that snide remark.
Right.
Well, we flash forward about 20 minutes, and Jason was already feeling very well in his pajamas, and he'd been drinking before he even got to your house, but adding fuel to the fire once he got there with whatever he drank. So he was already at the emotional roller coaster ride that he gets on, which we all love Jason.
Oh, he kept trying to get in that car, and we kept putting the brakes on.
Yeah.
He was trying.
So at the end of the night, about 20 minutes after you left, Marnie, Jason's standing. We all went back inside into the inside of Al's house, and we're all there, and he decides he's leaving because I don't know what he made his decision that he needed to make an exit.
Yeah.
So he then stands in the living room, and because he knows a few different languages, he says goodbye to all of us in every language he knows. French, Spanish, English, German, go down the list, all of it. Sure. And then he goes into the, I love everybody, you're all my friends, thank you for another wonderful year, yada, yada, yada. And he just is going on and on. I'm just like, well, see you next Tuesday.
And it was such a, like, harumph. Like, his face just felt, he's like, I'm going to go. It was just one more time where he was trying to get on the roller coaster of emotion train. And we're like, sorry, Mariah.
Oh, oh my God. I laughed so hard after that. So then I felt bad because I let Mark Martinez down because he and his boyfriend were leaving and they were just waiting to see what I was going to say. I'm like, I got nothing for you.
Now I'm worn out. Sorry. Yeah.
I'm out of salutation.
Yes. Is that it? Marnie, got more?
You know, that basically, there's one thing from last week I want to bring up, but otherwise for this week, it's just been getting ready for Friday. I mean, we have our Thanksgiving on Friday.
And one of these days this week is your birthday. Somewhere right in
actually,
here.
Next Tuesday.
It is Tuesday. Oh,
see you next
shit.
Tuesday.
See you next Tuesday. That's going to be
Look up, hashtag.
The hashtag goes first.
Oh, hash browns. When your mother said hash browns.
Hash browns. That was for breakfast.
Hash browns are for breakfast.
That's so funny. Your mom did. She goes, hash browns? Like, what? Oh, yeah. Hashtag. Never mind. Got it.
Our entire family does not understand any of that. We'll explain that, Katie Jones, shortly.
Can I give your mom one more shout out?
Yeah, please.
Martinez was on the Drunk as I'll Get Out train. And he decided he was
because it was Monday.
He just decided he was going to try and quote Whitney Houston or do something. And I kind of like he almost got the words to a Whitney Houston song right.
Oh, that's right.
And then all of a sudden he goes Whitney, and your mom goes hashtag What the fuck was that? Or no, where the fuck did that come from?
That was so funny.
And it just shut that shit. We had the brakes on everybody. Just when you thought you were going to get on some kind of a roll of like funny or something, shut down.
Yeah, no, I appreciate. His imitation of Dr. Phil quite a lot.
Oh, yeah. That was funny. Mark,
that was very
telling
funny.
A story. Mark it Martinez was. Chose to use whatever dialect he was using to be Dr. Phil in the story last night, which was quite funny.
It was very funny.
People like Tyler or Harrison will understand this, but those of you listening who may not be in the chat room, if you think that listening to this show is a shit show, you should be sitting on the back porch of Al's house.
Oh, gosh.
All drinking.
Yeah, for the 9-hour show that we do there.
Right, exactly.
Without microphones.
Was it Jason or you last night said, we should just be doing the show from here.
Yeah. Jason Carlton made that comment, and I said, well, that, you know, and then you jumped on that as well, but that's where that whole thing came from. I said,
exactly.
Don't you see it? This is exactly what we're doing.
Apple martinis in the apartment.
Oh, fuck.
That's right.
And I'm going to get George Michael for your birthday. Yeah. The last thing
it's only $1 million.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
Let's go to Apollo's and say it.
We contact him every year for Pride insistence. And it doesn't happen.
Oh, if that ever fucking happens, do you realize how much I'm going to lose my mind?
Oh, my God. Every year, he's at the top of my list.
Yeah.
I always wonder, like, what's at the top of the list that we end up with what we end up with?
It's all about the money.
Yeah, there's times where I'm like,
We could get into the numbers, but it is everybody's
can't
like,
even imagine.
Crazy.
There was something with 20 million. There was $10 million. I looked all that shit. I don't think I didn't.
I'm sure you did.
Crazy.
So what happens is Brandy from Pride calls and George Michael's management and says, hey, can we get George for about $7,000? And they're no, we're not getting that.
That's good. That's well played.
Thank you.
The only other thing is about that bike. Remember, like last week?
Ideas for the bike.
Oh.
Oh, go ahead.
Well,
tell me what
I,
you.
Well, I just, there were some thoughts like as I left and I drove the route. That,
did you also listen back to the show where you were insistent that you'll do it?
Well, no. I'm very good.
As long as your route wasn't Osborne, you can't take Osborne to your house.
But see, I was listening back, and then I had a text from Robin and I couldn't figure out what the fuck it meant. Like, because I looked down and it said, I'm not okay with that or something.
Right.
And I had no idea because I saw it much later.
Does she want to drive here and drive you back and forth to the studio?
Well, that would be a hike. But they live on west side of Jesus. So
they live in East LA.
Yeah. East Kabumpa.
Yes. So anyway, I took the route home. I drove the route and I thought, well, that's not bad. And then
it's not bad on a Sunday afternoon at 3.
Right.
Yeah.
But then I was thinking about it. And, you know, first and foremost, I really love the idea and I definitely want to ride. That's not the issue. But it's kind of a bad idea to use that as my main mode of transportation, I think, for the show, seeing as how I'm so, timely.
So in other words, the show starts at 7. You'd have to leave your house at noon to get here. Okay, right. I got it.
Well, because I'd have to stop and take a phone call, and then I'd have to send an email.
Do payroll as much as possible.
Well, the worst part is that you're doing all that while you're driving.
Right. No. I'm still at home. Like, I stay at home, and then I just
don't think she doesn't do that while she's driving. I have ridden with her a couple of times. It makes me very, very nervous.
I used it with the old flip phone because you could do it like Morse code. I didn't have to look down. I was good at texting with
this. The T9.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure.
Oh, no, not T9. T9 was the worst.
That's they never picked the same horrible. Word.
But I could do like, know. I knew mm-hmm. like what number like.
Yeah. That's called T9.
No, it's T9 not. Is when it automatically picks the word for you.
Right. No. T9 is when you have to go. If it's like it, like the letters on here, and you have to click, click, click to get to a W, and click. That's
like,
T9.
That's what you were doing. Like you're like 555 to get to M, and 566.
Yeah, that's
called T9. I thought T9 was when it finished the word for you.
T9 is when it's just the keypad, and you're like multiple pressing the numbers. You can do it in the dark.
Yeah,
you're right.
There's that.
So I was good at it.
Okay. Yeah. No. I agree with you. But now that you have a full QWERTY keyboard, what the hell am I doing?
No, but I can't drive and do it now, so I'm pissed off.
But can't you tell your car what to do?
No, the text doesn't come
drive,
through.
Drive, bitch.
Oh, got it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I use Siri.
I'm the worst driver in the world, and now I have all these different things to do.
Right.
Well, now that
a
I
tree
have...
grows in my car.
Still haven't gotten toast.
The dashboard of the Fusion still, actually grows a tree when you drive.
Yeah, a tree grows to tell you how green you're being.
Anyway,
go ahead.
But due to the lack of time, I just thought, well, maybe that's a bad idea.
Okay.
Unless I just am like the roving reporter on the way here. And
call in.
You know, giving little updates. 12th Street and Indian
School. I'm almost there. I'm almost there.
Accident to 12th Street and Indian
School. It's the end of hour two. Marnie's almost here.
Also, I thought it was interesting that we gave away the farm. We basically said, oh, no, you live here and go this way and go that way and you're going to be drunk? Good. And so we kind of did that whole, don't take Osborne, take Indian School.
Yeah. You'll be driving at what time?
Exactly. We go from 7 to 10.
Yeah. So about 10:20, be sure to catch Marty.
Indian School.
But that's why I was telling you don't take your car route. Like the way that I get here by bike, I would never, it's too stupid. I would never drive this way. But that's why we're liquor in side streets. That's why that's our bike gang name. Is because you don't take the main streets.
The bike gang name?
Yes.
Did you not know that?
I have seen your bike gang before.
Yeah. So we have, that's because
it's liquor in side streets because we're all
good side streets. I didn't know that the name, that's a good name.
Because we're like the Sacagawea. Like we find you the trail to the Northwest Passage or whatever the hell you're looking for.
Yes, totally do.
What is the Northwest Passage?
Well, Marnie, I've made a decision though about this bike.
Yes.
I want you to come and do a test ride. See if it fits your needs.
Okay.
Then I have a surprise.
Does that mean if it fits my ass?
No.
Oh, needs.
No.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
If you're comfortable with it. If so, if it all works for you, then I'm going to do something a little extra for and to the bike for use, but customize it, basically, if you will.
That's very sweet. Yeah.
And no, it doesn't involve.
I don't need training wheels.
Okay. No,
I just wanted
wheels.
To make sure that it wasn't that.
There's no training wheels. No.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. That's so, but I do want you to come over to the house and we'll ride through my neighborhood and we'll see if it works out for you.
I love it.
And then we'll go from there.
We'll, nice. We'll find you routes.
You
and once you do it, it's so lovely at night to ride your bike. In the summer, it's nice because it's cool. You know, it's a little cooler and you get a breeze, so it's not as unpleasant as you think it's going to be. And then this time of year, it's like, you know, you want to have a marshmallow or something. I don't even like marshmallows, but
yeah. But you want one when you're riding.
Yeah, you want something.
Well, don't we all?
A toddy.
Something.
Or a boy named Todd.
Are you good?
Hey.
So is that it? You good?
I'm great.
Mr. Perkins, you're up next on the...
I just, seriously, it was a fun week. I actually, like, took a little pride in my home. I felt like my life was a little bit back in order, like... We've been a while since car accidents or break-ins or other tragedies. But it was lovely to have everyone over, and then it was fun. It was a last-minute decision to sit outside. Like, we're getting ready to set the table.
It was a wonderful decision.
You know, it's nice outside, and we could all go out there. And it was just lovely to do a little Thanksgiving. Everyone, a couple people actually had to work on Thursday, so it worked out well. And
I like that during the entire conversation last night around the table, it was, this is where the pool's going, this is where this is going, and by the way, you got a year to get your truck out of my garage, basically.
Have way longer than that, but that's not going to be a cabana for a long time.
But I think it's perfect, though. And like French doors on the east side of your garage that can go right out onto the cool deck and have the garage door open, or the big double doors, I think it's a perfect building for it.
Oh, yeah, it is. It'll be lovely, and... Just fun, just casual, relaxing.
You have a sound system. It'll be 24/7 Donna Summer the entire time.
Yeah, you know the sound system is
your
part of the plan.
Your neighbors are going to be
right.
Happy.
I mean, you'll figure out how to have Bose come in and do it custom for you. I'm sure you will.
It's because they have to be sitting in their homes now. Like this week, I am obsessed with the version. It took me like 3 weeks to buy it. Glee's version of The Scientist. That they did it. Did you see the breakup episode?
Yeah.
It's what they sang at the end. They all came. Nobody said it would be easy. But nobody said it would be this hard. And when all the couples broke up and they did it.
It was so good.
The other night, I just needed a little cheering up at work. So I on my break, I picked a couple. I picked a Glee video that I wanted to watch, and then it said The Scientist, and I'm like, I never really cared that much for that song.
Yeah.
So I thought it was good at the time, did nothing with it, and I...
Gleeified.
It's amazing. My God, and a little over dramatic, but you've got four peak couples breaking up, so I'm like, you get a little drama out of
this.
And you finally hear Britney sing. Like,
she's
actually
good.
She is good.
Yeah, she's not that good.
I mean, she's not that bad.
They didn't auto-tune her. They let her just sing. She has to do a little girl voice. Like, yeah. She doesn't have the voice of the others, but nobody's auto-tuned. There's actual harmonies, and then they really bring it home that, like, they broke up everybody on the every single couple on the show broke up at the same time. Yeah.
Oh,
and it was a beautiful song.
I should probably catch up on that. I fell out of the Glee loop two seasons ago.
There's no need to go. That's not something to go back and catch up on.
But you can just jump back in.
Yeah, well, just see a couple numbers.
And it's fun. It's fun when this episode was fun. I don't find myself anymore. Like, first season, I couldn't wait.
Yeah.
And
now
But Al can explain this further in forensic detail as to how the writing all goes. But the first season was so biting. Like, Sue was biting, and there were so many just quips in it that was you couldn't wait to hear the next bitchy remark.
Yeah.
And then I just think it got whitewashed, very much like Will and Grace did in the later years.
Okay.
Yeah, they had a middle part in Will and Grace where they just kept fighting, and you're like, it's exhausting.
Yeah, right. So I kind of got the same feel for Glee. I was like,
well, really? So new season on Glee. I love the new bitchy little cheerleader.
Oh, I hate her.
But you love to hate her.
She's really good at being a bitch.
She's a total bitch.
Yeah, but she's just not a
Can we get her for this show?
And they have no reason. And what I like now is that they are going to stick to it. They have no reason to redeem any of these people.
Okay, sure.
You know what I mean? Like, they had to redeem Sue Sylvester because she's a teacher. They had to redeem Quinn because at some point you had to root for her.
Sure.
They can actually, like, stop trying to make people likable.
Yeah.
Like, leave her bitch.
Oh, yeah. Let them be who they are.
She's funny. Yeah. And Sue has a whole new reason to be pissed off again.
Yeah.
And she is hysterical again. Yeah, I love that. I'm back in.
Yeah. She's back in.
But it's not appointment television. Like, I get to it like Saturday or Sunday.
When it happens.
Yeah, I don't rush home from work, and I think it's on Thursday nights. Like, I don't rush home to watch it.
Right.
My jaw just popped. Ow, that really hurt. No. I just went like that.
And Clayton, your week.
I really, you know, it's I always come to this, and I feel like I do nothing. I'm busy all the fucking time, but I never feel like I have a bunch of updates. I was also at your house. You may have remembered I was there last night. So it was my Monday night of hosting RuPaul at Apollo's. Starting next Monday night, I do. I start co-hosting Bingo, Naughty or Nice Bingo, with Nevaeh McKenzie at Apollo's, starting at about 10. Yeah,
fun.
So that'll be interesting to see just both of us go at each other's throats for love and money and crappy prizes. except for the good prizes that are provided by Offshoot 2. They actually do provide real stuff. We just go to the dollar store and buy other crap. You're having problems with your charger, aren't you, there, Katie June?
You know, I am. Yeah, but I'll figure it out.
If you'd like to sponsor Katie with a charger, please send an email to...
I'm sure somewhere in that satchel. What'd you call it? A latchel yesterday? What were your all year?
It's a latchel or a lurse.
A lurse.
She won't call it a purse. She inadvertently did when her mom said that last night. Yes. Oh, look, Marnie's got a supplemental charger. Look at this.
Okay.
I'm like a little boy.
But wait.
Scout.
But I only know this. That charger end doesn't work. But maybe it's the charger that's shitty.
Does, right?
Yeah, that'll work. Yeah.
Isn't that where you plug that thing?
I don't know.
Yeah, but I have
to. The one thing that I've done, the one thing I did this week is I started a project. I've always got projects, but. Because I don't really give a shit about Christmas because, you know, we're not back home in Missouri and it's just not the same as it used to be. I'm actually working on a project for my mom for Christmas where I'm doing something for her. Because my mom and I have always had a pact, and some friends of mine over the years, and, well, you'll probably understand this, Al. Well, actually, all of you will understand this. My mom and I have kind of always had a thing where we don't do foo-foo gifts for each other. And years ago, and I've brought up the story 100 times, people have always thought I was kind of a jerk because I got my mom a vacuum one year.
Yes.
And it's the fact that my mom had a shitty vacuum. Right. So give her a vacuum that works and does everything that, you know, it needs to do. So mom and I always give each other gifts that you'll really use. So I found something that mom needs and she likes and she uses. So I'm refurbishing something and I'm giving it to her for Christmas. So I started that project. It's going to take me a few weeks to do it.
Oh, very good.
So I started that little deal.
No, other
than that,
that's so nice.
No.
Oh, but Mark, there's a charger issue. What's going on over there?
We're just, you know, we're just ladies playing with our tools.
Oh, that's a wonderful
segue. Trying to make something vibrate.
I love me some Tuesdays.
I'm going to say that's a wonderful segue. It's 7:34 on a Tuesday night. You're with the show with Clayton McKee. That's me. It's also with Marnie, Al, and Katie June. We're coming to you live from the Q-Talk America Studios in Central Phoenix, and we are going to headlines in just a second.
You're listening to Q-Talk Arizona.
Hi, it's Clayton McKee from Q-Talk America. Would you like to receive 50% off your next purchase of an adult DVD, adventurous toy, or maybe even a new lube you've heard about and wanted to try? Well, now you can. Check out AdamMail.com, and you can receive 50% off just about any item. In addition to that great savings, AdamMail.com will also throw in three free all-male DVDs that's sure to get you in the mood. And they'll even throw in free shipping. All you have to do to take advantage of this special offer is go to AdamMail.com and use coupon code QTALK1. That's QTALK1. When you do, you'll get all three DVDs. Oh, I hate when I hate when I have my settings set wrong. God damn it. It's all right. Here's a look at headlines on this Tuesday night. I fucked myself up. I feel like I'm just going to start over. Let's do it again. Actually, wait. That's a fail.
Yeah. Technically, you still drink on those at home,
please. You can do that. Here we go. Here are a look at headlines coming to you tonight from Q-Talk America. We're going to get through this. I need another drink.
Can I do your first headline? Three listeners at home wonder what they get for free from AdamMail.com.
Anti-gay Christian lawyer arrested on child pornography charges. Teens get a lap dance at a party for a 16-year-old boy. No shit, serious. These are serious stories.
Wow.
Joan Rivers is detained after she's mistaken for an illegal immigrant. A turkey blamed for a power outage. And a Missouri man's obituary cites heartbreak from his favorite team as cause of death. There's another headline in there somewhere. I think I missed it in my shuffle. Wow, that was a hectic beginning to headlines. I'm almost exhausted.
Almost. Well, maybe some sugar from Barb's Bakery.
Oh, we have cookies from... Katie brought it. Now, I have to give you an admission here. Now, Buddy Early, who is still a part of this cast as much as ever, but he's in a job right now that he cannot be here during this time. So when he would come in, he brought in food and nutritional supplements courtesy of Carl's Jr., Burger King, or whatever drive-thru.
With always a kicker story about his cholesterol.
Right.
That his cholesterol and his blood sugar, or not blood sugar, his blood pressure were high.
Right, right.
But dinner was brought to you by any one of the greasy establishments nearby.
Right. So the step up is Katie June joined our cast a couple weeks ago, and she stops at AJ's and brings lovely food. If you don't know AJ's, Google it. You'll find out more about them. They're a high-end store here in Central Phoenix.
Oh, but fuck that. Barb's Bakery on 24th Street
and
Thomas.
But tonight, she brought in Barb's Bakery cookies. I'm just looking at the cookie, and it looks like it's got either sour cream or cream cheese as part of that icing.
You know, I don't know what it is. It's crack.
There's sugar and butter.
Sugar and butter.
And a little bit of crack.
Tonight brought to you by Paula Deen and
fried butter.
And her network of shit you can buy and pay her exorbitant amounts of money for.
His blood pressure and cholesterol are one thing, but when I get diabetes, it's going to be like, well, that took a while. You know what I mean?
She's
been working on that for a long time.
But I'm finally here. By the way, I just want to point something out.
Yes,
the only
reason
Katie June would ever go to AJ's is because I asked her to go there.
Why? What did you
would
need?
Never go there.
I don't shop there.
Oh, yeah, no.
But
it's not like Red Lobster. Why would you send her there?
It's way out of her allowed budget.
Yes. Well,
but it's on Katie's way here.
It's a lot of political stuff.
And I'm
going to
guess also.
That's why. That's why she went.
I'm
going to
guess also. You didn't ride your bike again this week.
I didn't, and...
Oh, don't try... Yes or no? It's a yes or no question.
The answer is no. However... Wait, but it needs an explanation.
Uh-oh.
I actually pulled the bike out. I was super excited about it.
And realized what?
I have no lights.
You don't have lights.
And you told me that I didn't
You've
have lights.
You've got to have lights.
But I have been on a cruise this whole time, and I just didn't...
No, I understand. So you're a busy woman with things on your mind.
Give me, like, little break, and next week I will. And I would have not even paid that much attention. Actually, that's bad. Kelly was the one that said,
No, the kicker is...
I'm wearing blue.
And I, and that I agree with Kelly. Well, I ride in black.
Yeah, so
but the
she
kicker
said
is, Al and I both have full illumination on both of our bikes.
Yeah.
And people still don't watch your ass. Yeah. So yeah. If I can't. Oh, yeah. It really, and it, actually,
so I need to get it.
I've been riding along the canal, the Grand Canal.
It's a Grand Canal.
In Central
Christina.
Phoenix. And literally, you can get 10 feet from somebody coming at you on a bike with no lights and damn near kill yourself because you almost run
yeah,
into them.
It's yeah, bad. It's bad.
And I make, and every fucking week come in here because the new studio was a big deal. So you got to sell it up. But I had like, I can't stay on the canal as long as I want to.
Okay, why is that?
Well, you could ride clear to 7th if you want and just come down.
Yeah, and come down. But,
why?
I take an mm-hmm. alternate route now. But I always end up on fucking Campbell going east
right.
from 7th Avenue. There's no sidewalk. There's no curb.
I hate that.
And no one has lights. And tonight, twice, I had to like ride onto someone's lawn because people were like,
"Oh my god!"
Like almost ready to hit me. And I'm like, "I have a flashing red light coming out my ass. I'm practically an orangutan."
I feel like I should start the headline segment over. Maybe
no,
I should
just start okay, reading. Okay. Just start reading.
Police are investigating reports that exotic dancers perform lap dances on teenagers at a boy's surprise 16th birthday party in New York State. A lot going on in New York State.
Yeah, the only thing that would be a surprise is if he didn't get a Woody.
Was her name Sandy?
Well, stand by, Saratoga. County District Attorney James says, it just says Attorney James. I don't know if you have a first name, last name. He says that child endangerment is among the potential charges. The South Glens Falls police chief says photos on a social networking site, i.e. Facebook, more than likely, because MySpace ain't got nothing going on, were given to his department by people concerned about the November 3rd party. At least one image shows a scantily clad, tattooed woman clinging upside down to a seated teen as others look on.
Oh my God.
Murphy said Thursday that investigators are trying to determine who hired the dancers and if the bowling alley venue served alcohol to any of the 80 adults and or teens that were there. A man at the spare tire bowling alley says he cannot comment at this time.
Well, of course
not. My faith. So a scantily clad woman upside down on a seated teen. Well, I think that sounds like Christmas to a,
yeah,
to a 16-year-old boy.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, my God,
yes.
Are you kidding?
Or me and Marnie.
Yeah, as close as you can get to rubbing one off on a 16-year-old boy is going to be like a bar mitzvah.
At a bowling alley? I like that.
Yeah, the bowling alley.
That's actually the best part of the story.
Kind of the kicker on that was the bowling
part.
Alley. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. This is. I usually don't do too many serious stories within the headline things, but I just thought this one because I think it's good to root out these people who are hypocritical as shit. Mm-hmm. A New Hampshire lawyer associated with an anti-gay Christian defense group was arrested on federal child pornography charges after allegedly taking a teenager across the border to Canada, where she reportedly convinced the girl to engage in sexual activity and let it be filmed. A woman named Lisa Biron, Byron, whatever, of Manchester, New Hampshire. She's a lawyer associated with the Christian litigation group Alliance Defending Freedom. She was arrested by FBI agents on Friday morning on charges of transportation with intent to engage in criminal sexual activity, possession of child pornography, and 5 counts of sexual exploitation of a minor.
Craigslist was used by her as a mode of solicitation in order to solicit men, adults, some juveniles, to come and engage in sexual activities with a minor.
That's U.S. Attorney John Kavakis. She says Byron used the website Craigslist to engage in all these illegal encounters. He also says Byron used... Oh, wait, I typed that twice. Why did I do that? I have another audio clip. I fucked this up. So here we go with the second audio clip.
These are the most serious child pornography, child sexual exploitation charges in the federal criminal code. They carry substantial penalties because of the gravity of these offenses.
The anti-gay group Byron is associated with is, quote, a group of reactionary Christian lawyers pressing litigation to curb reproductive rights and to block the freedom to marry. I just like to bring out these hypocritical bastards who want to be up on the cross and preach and preach and preach. And lo and behold, they're the sons of bitches who are doing everything that they allege that we do.
Right. So many times.
Right.
I mean, it just is so frequent. It's just it's bullshit.
And I always have to quote Bill Maher on this one.
And it's frightening because people are listening to them and they're paying attention to them and they're bowing down to them. I mean, just whatever.
But then,
and
like, followers dismiss these kinds of things. They dismiss this. Right. They're like,
well. Well, there has to be a reason.
Like the teen, the youth leader that was molesting the boys, and he was a religious youth leader, and it turned out he was molesting all of them. And people were like, oh, well, maybe he was helping them. No. And they were trying to find an out. But Bill Maher says, if your religious leader has anything to say about homosexuality besides I don't really give a shit, there's probably something going on.
Yeah, there's a reason.
Anybody that's that up in arms about something has a, like, There's something in there. So I wanted to ask as a man or woman, because that story was on my friend Kara Compton.
It was a woman.
Yeah. Anyway, she had this picture of this story on Facebook today. And I couldn't tell. It was one of those like androgynous things, and I'm like, is that a man or is that a woman?
Woman. Yeah.
So that's what I was trying to like get your attention, because I was like, I'm not sure.
Now the interesting, what I liked is, and I'm not sure if that means that she's being held in jail, but they arrested her. This was last Friday they arrested her. Her next court date is in January. So I'm not sure if that means that she's incarcerated until then, or if she's free on whatever. I'm not really sure. In continuing,
they usually don't let people like that have like. Out easy on bail.
Well, actually, now that I think about it, I read more into the story. Initially, the judge says that she was not a flight risk, but that she was a risk to the public welfare. So they may be detaining her.
Right.
Sheboygan, Wisconsin.
Sheboygan.
Yeah, Sheboygan. Let's see. Yeah, Sheboygan. Maybe this turkey was trying to launch a preemptive strike before Thanksgiving. Utility officials say a turkey flew into a power line in Sheboygan County on Saturday morning.
Oh, it's done.
Timer.
Yeah.
There's that.
The thermometer popped right out of its ass.
The Sheboygan Press reported that the turkey flew into the power lines, contacted the power lines, and knocked out power for 1,500 people. The spokesman said the outage was about 8 a.m. on Saturday. Power had been restored to all but for a handful of homes within about an hour. So I thought that was kind of funny that coincidentally, just a couple days before Thanksgiving, turkey flies into...
So I'm wondering if that was like a suicide kind of thing.
It's taking like a suicide bomber.
Taking one for the team, though. Like, he was like, I'm going to knock out all the electricity the and you can't apocalypse. Get my
Oh, I didn't think about the apocalypse.
The turkey zombie apocalypse. He doesn't want to be eaten. That. He's just taken himself out.
Turkopolis.
Wow.
Hashtag.
Turkopolis.
Spelled out.
That's a good sign. Where Tim lives now, I went to visit him, and he lives in Arroyo Grande.
West Coast?
Or Grand. Yeah. I'm sure they call it Arroyo Grande because you're not allowed to pronounce anything.
That's right.
Oh, no. Actually, you know how they get out of that one? They call it AG. Oh. Because the Arroyo would just come out pronounced wrong. You weren't here for this, but where Tim lives in that part of California, everything has to be anglicized. It's San Luis Obispo, and they stop you and tell you.
It's not San Luis Obispo.
No, it's San Luis Obispo, and that, because Arroyo would just, it's got Y's and R's in it, it's AG.
Oh my gosh.
And they seriously, people will correct you while you're standing there. And beach was like, I was like, how are you spelling that? And I'm like, oh, okay. But anyway, so out his apartment, he's like, you know, sometimes, and he opens up this curtain, he goes, sometimes there's a turkey out my back window. And there was like 8.
Oh,
and he's like, I've never seen that many turkeys. And we're just watching all these turkeys run up and down this hill outside his back.
Usually at a bar.
Yeah, the back door. So I'm like, well, Tim, like, what are you, is it a farm behind you? Like, why are all these wild turkeys? He's like, it's the Kmart parking lot.
No.
So between his apartment window and the Kmart parking lot is like, fresh turkeys.
Free range turkeys.
Isn't that funny?
Wow. What an odd place.
I know.
One Missouri man is able to find humor in a time of mourning. Lauren Lichtig, an Air Force veteran and
that's
former...
That's why she finds humor in a lot of stuff.
Air Force veteran and former Grandview councilman passed away on November 14th. His obituary, printed in the Kansas City Star, reads as follows. Lauren G. Sam Lichtig passed away on November 14th, 2012, of complications of MS and a heartbreaking disappointment caused by the Kansas City Chiefs.
Lichtig's
daughter Jennifer said that her dad was a longtime Chiefs fan, and her dad was such a comedian that she wanted him to have the last word. So, claiming he died from heartbreak from them. I thought that would be as close to sports as we were probably going to get tonight.
That's cute. Awesome. And I actually really, really,
I know,
understand
I saw that,
that
picture. That's just, I saw that, Al. No. That was, I almost printed it and gave a handout, but I thought you'd get mad at me for killing trees.
I have a handout, so you can get mad at me.
Comedian Joan Rivers was quizzed by a squad of UK border agency officials after being mistaken for an illegal immigrant. 4 guards swooped in as the American star enjoyed a weekend fishing trip while filming her latest reality show episode. The border agency officials had been alerted about a suspicious group of people with 2 fishing trawlers on the Swal Estuary In Kent. Okay.
Let me help you with the big words.
Yeah. Yeah. Hand it to Al.
No, it's actually all done. It's all done in European. Despite the mix-ups.
In European.
Because they spell everything differently. Despite the mix-up, Rivers managed to hang on to her notorious sense of humor. Even though we are innocent and I'm sorry that they didn't arrest us, I love Englishmen and they're all very cute, she said. The 79-year-old comedian was actually then released and allowed to continue to go back to work. In her boat. They showed pictures of her in this tragic little fishing boat. And Melissa Rivers didn't look happy at all.
No, I can't
A trawler is a kind of boat. It's a fishing boat.
It's a trawling boat. Got it. Got it.
An estuary is a little place, like a little preserve for...
Very exciting.
Oh, fishing trawler. That should help you.
Okay. Didn't hear that. Now this I have a headline story coming for you because you'll have some fun with it, I'm sure. Not this particular story though. Obviously this is timely as some people, not us. I don't think any of us are leaving town and getting on a plane or a boat. Well, you got off a boat, but
yes.
Nobody's traveling anywhere.
Thank God.
The TSA is on high alert for any suspicious food items this Thanksgiving holiday. In an alleged effort to expedite travelers, they've released a list of prohibited items and holiday travel tips. Now listen, you all realize that when you travel and you fly, and Katie, you just came back from this, 3.4 ounce max is what you can travel with liquid-wise, according to what they say. So this is the list of things that you cannot travel with. These people really ought to get a job.
Yeah.
Cranberry sauce is at the top of the list.
Oh, okay. Come on.
Swear to God, this came out today.
You cannot bring a turkey.
Cologne.
Yeah.
Yeah. Creamy dips and spreads. This includes cheeses, peanut butters, etc.
Is that the European spelling of that?
Just says ETC. Et cetera. Gift baskets with food such as salsa, jams, and salad dressings. Nope, can't do it. Gravy is on the list.
Oh, come
Cannot
on.
Cannot travel with gravy.
That's weird.
Jams.
How about trouser gravy?
Who's bringing it? Who's like, grandma made gravy?
People like to make stuff and take that with them.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Not from Arizona to New York.
Apparently, right. This is a preemptive strike to keep people from doing that.
That's because
first off, nobody wants people to do it. This isn't a safety concern. They just don't want any more shit on that plane in the holidays.
Those fat people in the middle seat, I'm telling you, like if they smell that gravy, then it could get ugly.
Mine is the cranberry. That's actually the problem. You all need to take
your seat.
The cranberry sauce thing. Yes. Seriously, no one fucking eats it.
Nobody does.
Oh, I love
and there's one.
Oh, I'm a cranberry sauce person.
Out of the can, does it have to still look like the can?
I like the jellied version,
not the real.
That's
what I mean.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, do you spend the time to like do the compost and the orange shit, or do you just open up the can?
No, my mom used to be a gourmet chef, and so she like does it up.
Okay, so you might travel with it because everybody else, I'm like, it comes in a can. There's going to be a grocery store when that plane lands. Right. They have an airport. They have cranberry sauce in a can.
My mom makes like a specific cranberry thing, but I'm telling you right now, I just bring my mom with me. Yeah. Make it there.
But if you're traveling, that's the beauty of actually leaving your own house. Right. You don't have to bring that shit.
Right, you go there and
somebody else
Aunt Marge makes it. Right. Right.
So that's a rule for you as a parent. Don't bring every toy your child has ever looked at.
No. Right. In addition, after gravy come the following items. Jams, jellies, lotions, maple syrup, oils, and lotions. It says lotions. I don't know.
Lotions.
This is the official list, people. I print it right from the TSA's website today. Maple syrup, oils and vinegars, perfume, salad dressing, salsa, sauces, snow globes.
This is fucking random.
Remember that Richard Gere movie that ended tragically with a snow globe incident.
To round it out, it's soups, wine, liquor, and beer. Now it says you can bring pies and cakes.
I just have to say all of this is stuff you can't bring into the cabin because I have flown wine all over this great nation of ours, including over the ocean a couple times.
But you have to check baggage with that. This is carry on. It says you can bring pies and cakes through the security checkpoint, but be advised, they are all subject to additional screening.
I took the sprinkles cupcakes, from here to Minnesota for somebody's birthday when I flew
nice
back
of
there.
You.
It was fun. It was actually
She's a giver
fun.
Like that.
Very thoughtful.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks. And so I take this back and all of a sudden they're like, we're going to need to, and I had never like done the whole sprinkles cupcakes, like ordered, and you had to keep them in the bag, and they're it's very high maintenance cupcakes.
Mm-hmm.
And so
they're high maintenance to begin with. They're sprinkles cupcakes.
Seriously. Yes. And all of a sudden the people are like, you're going to have to come over here. Are you kidding? Come on. Sprinkles fucking cupcake.
It's cupcakes.
That's it.
Well, didn't they just x-ray the motherfuckers?
They did. But then they took it, they opened it, they cut the seal thing on it. They had to look at that. I'm like, Jesus. You fucking put your finger into my cupcake. Now, and let's not take that further than I just said. But, you know, get your finger on my cupcake, I said, hashtag.
I said hashtag.
Guard with yourself, sir. I said hashtag.
Yeah. Right, somewhere between, like, the first set of crazy security rules and the liquid security rules, I would always get the cup of coffee right when I got to the airport. Because I usually am drunk or just woke up.
Right. Yeah.
But either way, coffee is going to have to get me through it.
Sure.
So right before you couldn't bring anything fluid through, I was sipping my Starbucks, and I put ice in my coffee and I drink it through a straw so I can slam it faster and get the effect. I freebase it. And
he also likes Starbucks enemas, for record.
Yeah, okay. And I'm not very friendly. No. So the guy says to me, of course I wasn't really listening to him, and he goes, sip of that. And I'm like, you want a sip of my fucking coffee? And he's like, sip of, I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, you need to take a sip of that. I'm like, I'll drink the whole goddamn thing. What are you after? He's like, we just need to know what's in the cup.
Right.
You can't travel with a full cup of fluids. If it's hot fluids, you know, you could throw hot fluid at somebody and start the whole commotion. So I'm like, oh, for the love of Jesus. And I like slurped it down through the straw. And I'm like, happy dear.
Do you know, they stopped a guy when we were just there. You know, it's just so aggravating. And I think, like, you know, Kelly is really on edge when traveling anyway. And so then it puts me kind of striving a little bit
and
more stressed
out. And she travels all the time.
Yeah,
she's frustrating.
She travels, she travels
that'd
a lot.
Be frustrating
and
for her.
She's, like, just kind of a stressy travel. Yeah. And I'm more of a Marnie type of a, like, hey, I still got 10 minutes.
Right.
And she's like, we were supposed to leave 10 minutes. You know, it's a whole thing.
Mine is the closer I can get to never sitting down from walking through
that's
the security
right.
to the is a win.
Well,
win. Yeah, that's
and
a
we
me
actually
is how
we have got it timed pretty well. But so regardless, we're always on a little edge, and so we're always cranky when we're going through the security. And they made a guy that was directly in front of us. I mean, the man was 95 years old, for God's sakes. I mean, like, barely shuffling through.
Oh, and I have a theory.
And God
on this.
Bless him, and he's taking his time and the whole thing. Why do they pull him over?
Yeah. Because that's
why
the person. If I was a terrorist, and I say this all the time, if I was a terrorist, the first thing I would do is I would come after you traveling with the baby.
Right.
Okay.
And I would know that you would be so afraid for your baby's life that you would do whatever I would say, because I would just threaten your kid.
Oh,
and I would get whatever I needed to smuggle on the plane into that baby's diaper.
Okay.
And that's what I would do, because I know
you
that
have
you
thought about this.
No,
he watches Showtime.
No, but that's what nobody remembers this from right after 9/11. But they went to movie producers. That was the first thing they did.
Really?
And they said this was so off the charts. What would you do as a movie producer? How would you? What plan would you come up with? A plausible plan to sneak something on the plane. So I took it as a challenge, and I thought of all that. And old people, take the most decrepit-looking person you have, and they're usually confused in the airport. Sure. I'll help you to the bathroom. I'll do this. And then I'm going to put shit down your pants because you haven't felt any part of your body in months.
Right.
So to me, the most vulnerable
are
the most vulnerable on every single level. Because somebody traveling with a child, that's the easiest person to sneak someone into. Whenever somebody's like, they have a kid, let them through. No!
Yeah,
that's the easiest person to get to.
Okay,
out by
see, because I've always been that person that is going, "Oh, he's 100. Just let the poor man."
They did that to my. They did that to my grandma as well. The with her going,
I'm like
and it
Frisker.
Was like, "Are you kidding me?"
Yeah,
and because of who it was, you know, you like for me, I'm like, this is fucking ridiculous. But I agree with Al.
Yep. See,
I
mean, you just
got to and actually, they did
you
that
gotta,
when I was
gotta,
pregnant.
You got to think like people that
when
are
I was
up.
Pregnant, they did. I got pulled aside one time and got the full body pat down.
Because they're not going to put you through an X-ray at all.
Well, they could. Right. But and I went through the normal thing and I didn't beep, but they pulled me aside for like an additional screening of my whole bag and my whole body and the whole thing.
Yeah. Are you really pregnant? Or I mean,
exactly. Yeah.
Right. Oh. And finally, in our headline segment tonight, in the ending of this first hour, and I know Al will have something to comment about this. Some of you may not care for him, but in the past few weeks, due to Hurricane Sandy, he has been in a lot of headlines. He came out very pro-Obama, and recently, in fact, just last Saturday, he was on SNL.
Governor Chris Christie brought a little New Jersey attitude to SNL's weekend update, where he riffed on that trademark fleece that it seems he's been sporting nonstop.
You have been wearing that fleece a lot.
Oh, yeah. It's basically fused to my skin at this point.
But I have seen you wearing suits.
Oh, yeah. But I wear them over the fleece. I'm going to die in this fleece. But that's okay. It's a good fleece.
It is a good fleece.
Stop saying things I've already said.
All right, okay.
But he was quite funny. You showed me the clip last night at your house, Al, of him on there, and he was very funny, and just timing was everything with him.
Yeah, he had it down. I said he's running. Like, he started, he read the polls like I did. He started running for a Jersey governor because he's a Republican in a heavily Democratic state.
Right.
They do not vote Republican very often. And
they like him.
Yeah, and they like him. So he knew right away to get on the Obama bandwagon and get on those coattails. He's going to be the only person to get the Obama coattails from this election, because his election is actually 2013, I think, because their election cycles are off by so much.
Oh, okay.
That I think he's up for re-election next year, so he's got to start lining up his ducks. And all of a sudden, he comes off as bipartisan when it comes around to 2016. And you just, you know, tell people to fuck off at presidential. When they get the Tea Party, like, everybody's talking about those 20 debates. Like, we can't do 20 debates
anymore.
Oh, no,
they've already said that they're doing, like, seven.
They're going to do seven. But you know that if Chris Christie comes in there and somebody says something, he's going to be like, shut the fuck up. We're not talking about that.
Right.
You know what I mean? He's going to shut I think he's the one to shut the Tea Party down.
I think
it's going to be him.
I like his no bullshit attitude about stuff. I do like that. But, I mean, obviously, we're still cautious of what the hell's going on. What, Katie, what is going on with the wire across your computer?
It's rigged. I've rigged it. It's charging.
This is what makes it work.
The only way that it will charge is that way. Is that it?
It is. Now it is, yes.
Got it. What's going on in the chat room? Anything, Tyler?
I love it that, God knows, we should probably sit down and interview Tyler and think of all the things that he thinks about me. He thinks I'm violent and now I'm a terrorist.
You're a terrorist. Yeah. I think he's a terrorist too, Tyler. I sit directly across from him. I'm questioning. I'm wondering.
He has chickens, allegedly. That's what I'm reading.
And I found out sad news earlier from the chat room. Do you know that the theme park part of Opryland is gone? They literally...
Opryland?
Opryland.
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 Got it. Opryland.
Opryland is a little bit different.
Opryland. By the way, that was European.
Fuck you.
That was the
hashtag.
Hashtag.
And I...
God damn it.
All right, we come back. I've actually been to Opryland, and I have to tell you that story. But they paved Paradise and put up a parking lot. They got rid of the first roller coaster I ever rode was in Opryland. It was called the Wabash Cannonball, and me and my dad rode it like three times in a row, even though I was a little too short. My dad kind of like put me on his feet to get me on there.
That's great.
Yeah.
And my little salute.
My sister threw up a few times, but we rode it. Well, my mom made it.
That's awesome.
Oh, my heavens. This is the end of hour one. We've got two more to go. It's the show with Clayton McKee, Marnie Ryer, Al Perkins, and Katie June. We're coming to you live from Central Phoenix from the Q-Talk America studios. We have a whole lot more jocularity, drinking games.
European pronunciations.
Potentially.
If you must.
I'm going to make a drink in a second. And then the other thing we're going to have is our little segment called Thoughtful Vulgarity that starts at the top of hour three. In the meantime, we're just going to talk about more shit right here on Q-Talk America on a Tuesday night.
You've been listening to The Show with Clayton McKee on Q-Talk Arizona. You're listening to Q-Talk Arizona. The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee on Q-Talk Arizona. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Good evening once again. 8 o'clock on a Tuesday night. It is, Jeezy Pete's, what is this, the 20th? Yeah, the 20th of November, 2012. We're coming to you live from Studio B in the Q-Talk America facility, located in Central Phoenix. And we're not going to give you the exact address because we don't want you to find us. Because one of Al's plans is going to get us out of something. I'm here in studio with Al, Katie, and Marnie. We round out the cast each and every week. We talk about all kinds of stuff that nobody else wants to talk about, but by God, we do. And as we kick off the beginning of each and every second hour, we have a little thing we call the drinking game, and we encourage you to drink along right with us.
And now, a drink along. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but no. If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom. And that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
Your drinking word has to be hashtag. Because we fucked up its meaning so many times in the last... Well, I think we're at 24 hours. Yeah. I think we just hit 24 hours of not knowing how to use that correctly.
Well, the Katie...
Hashtag.
The Katie,
hashtag.
I don't know if you've listened to last week's show, Katie,
your
since you were off on or off the mainland. But you can get internet anywhere. You know, I didn't realize that. But last week, somebody... I forget what it was. I think Al said something and you're like... By the way, hashtag been there, done that, or something like that. And Marnie's like, I don't even know what that means.
I was sitting here like, what the fuck?
So last night, she said hashtag about every seventh word.
But she was doing it after what she said, and then her mom chimes in, hash browns, they're for breakfast. And it just got like more and more ridiculous. And then on Facebook today, she wrote out hashtag.
I'm like, that's right, people. It's a new trend.
I write it out.
You're smelling it now.
I write it out.
I'm
going to
jump on your bandwagon.
Tyler, I know. It's fantastic. Join. So I have to tell Tyler about Opera Land. Because, well, first off, I spent the Bicentennial, which tells you how old I was, that I was in an amusement park riding a roller coaster the Bicentennial.
Hold the pants.
But I was in Paris a couple years ago, and I wandered around by myself. My friend Renee was in school, so I stayed in his apartment. In the daytime, he would go to school, and I would just wander around Paris and have my little guidebook. So I went to the Paris Opera House. It's right near the Shiseido Salon.
So cool.
Which is why I went, because I wanted to go and buy Shiseido at Shiseido. I was very excited. Even though I think it's Japanese, I don't understand what the French connection is. But anyways,
but
I went.
It's there. Isn't that a movie?
So, what, Shiseido?
The French Connection?
Yeah, it is. Oh, it is.
Also
very
a
good.
Clothing
very
store.
Oh, yeah, yes, it is.
Nice.
And French Connection, one of the most famous chase scenes in all of moviedom.
Fabulous.
Yeah, exactly. Oscar winning. Yeah. So we go into the Paris Opera House and we're looking around. And I'm doing it all from a guidebook. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I have no one with me. I don't speak French. I'm just kind of wandering. Yeah, doing things. So they're like, and then through this door is a grand salon. And I'm like, this is a fucking hallway. So I'm all like, okay, these French people really got themselves. Like, they are really up their own asses
what
constitutes a grand
slot. Is this hallway?
Turns out I had made a left or I should have made a right. And then, of course, I'm like, well, this truly is a grand salon now that I'm in here. And then we go in and they don't let you into the main floor of the opera house. They let you into the opera boxes up on top. So we walk in, and of course, I don't speak French, and I don't have the little headphones on, so I don't know what the tour guide is saying to the people. I'm just, like, in the back with my little book reading. So as I walk in, I realize that they're doing a rehearsal for the opera that night.
Oh.
So I'm like, oh, my God, we get to, like, we're standing here in one of, like, the really expensive box seats watching the performance. It's a rehearsal, but we're watching them perform. So I'm just mesmerized. I'm watching the person sing on stage, and all the tourists are looking up. I'm like, you fucking dumbasses. Like, even in French, you should understand, like, there's opera going on. Well, it turns out it's the opera house where the Phantom of the Opera is from. They were looking at the chandelier that falls in the famous play, and the whole big thing. I never looked up. So I watch the opera, I leave, and I'm like, what the fuck could they possibly have been looking at? So I asked the lady that spoke English at the desk, and I'm like, is there some famous fresco on the ceiling? What? She's like, the chandelier from the Phantom of the Opera. She's like, you're in the Paris Opera House. I'm like,
oh.
Can I go back? So that was my trip to Opera Land.
Love so much is that you really turned the wrong way and you're like, this is a fucking hallway.
Oh, wait.
These French are such assholes.
This is not a grand salon, Christina. My hallway at home is more impressive and it has two doors.
You just think of them being so pompous and you're like, the
But seriously, Google the Grand Salon at the Opera House because it's spectacular. I'm and the sure. fact that I was like standing next to the urinal going, this is not a Grand Salon.
Really funny.
Hashtag whoopsie.
Whoopsie. Wrong turn.
Hashtag.
But the best part is I would never ask a question, so I'm just the bitchy tourist that just keeps plowing on and assuming everyone else is fucked up. Look down. Goddamn people.
Oh, watch where you're walking.
Okay, so I don't have any movie tips for this week because I cleaned my house and that took like 3 fucking days and I seriously live in a cottage. So I have to recommend, it's available at Starbucks or online and you're not allowed to just buy one song from it. You got to buy the whole CD. Etta James, Enduring Soul. This is my big tip for the week. I am a latecomer to Etta James. I didn't discover her till in the 90s. And it was really, there's a scene in American Pie where he looks across the room and At Last plays. And I was sitting in the theater like, ooh, that was kind of a cool song. And I waited for the credits to find out what the song was called. And then it came up a couple other places. I'm like, I need to find out what this Etta James At Last is. And that was one of my favorite songs, but I really knew nothing else from her. Yeah. Never heard of her. Didn't know if, like, is she an eight? Is this an 80s song? Sure, is this a 40s song? Like, where are we going for the song? So she died this year, unfortunately, and the American Music Awards did not do any kind of tribute to her.
I knew this was going to be on your list.
They also didn't do a tribute to one of Dick Clark's dearest friends, Donna Summer.
Very upset about that.
Past listeners will remember the reason I knew something must be up with Donna Summer is when Dick Clark died and she didn't have a comment about it because they were very close friends. Mm-hmm. So anyways, Etta James, Enduring Soul. Turns out this woman had it going on. It's a greatest hits album, but it's kind of like the early years. It's a reintroduction to people like me that don't know it. If you like a little bit of like real old school soul funk, not funk, that's the wrong word, soul R&B, like just get into your, like, you know what I mean, just dance around
like
your house,
like get out of my dreams,
singing of, no, not exactly,
like,
no,
okay,
like
maybe
sort of singing about making moonshine, right, and loving, right, your man, yeah, to a, like a really funky, like, beat, and I'm using the word funk and that's not the right word, right, but that old soul, that 60s Atlantic Records, like early Aretha Franklin, like this was Chess record, but oh my god, it's phenomenal. It's so good. It's called Enduring Soul. It's available, okay, at Starbucks. Get the whole album. Don't just pick and choose.
I'm gonna try.
Oh, is it now? Is it? I missed you. Did you say this? Is it only available at Starbucks?
No. But Starbucks is my new record store because my favorite thing in the entire world
is coffee.
Was to go, and I did it in Paris when I was there too. Like, I love to go to record stores and just flip. I want to flip through every rack. I want, right, to touch every single thing in the store and find the unusual CD.
Do you still buy CDs?
Yes, I insist on it.
You're the guy that does that.
Oh, and I agree with
I'm
him.
The girl that does
because I've had my computer crash 3 fucking times and lost everything. And if I didn't have CDs, I'd be
rebuild.
Fucked.
Right.
So every time someone says, I got rid of my CDs, I'm like, you're a fucking
you're a
loser
dumbass.
And you need to come to my house and look at the storage.
Oh, right.
I've been
no.
burning since May and I just got to ours. I just made it to ours. It's taken me 6 months.
Yeah, it's
and do not get rid of your CDs.
No, and that's now,
computers
and,
crash.
Unless you are one of those people who are newer and only buy all your stuff and it's downloadable and you can re-download it, then you're fine.
Yeah.
See, that's
from the cloud.
I'm not a
because like, when the zombie apocalypse happens, that cloud is going. It's just going to be you, your CD player, and that generator playing Enduring Soul.
And Cher will be somewhere.
And yeah,
and Keith Richards.
But I 100% agree with him because it's happened to me twice.
Yeah,
where really? I've had to re-rip every single thing.
I'm on my third time in 7 years because 7 years ago I bought that shit and I was like, well, I could get rid of these CDs, but I'm like, no, I still like the pictures. And thank God because my computer crashed right
you
away
know,
in
I,
Paris. In Paris, it crashed, fuckers.
I used to keep the CDs, but then I just don't have anywhere to put them. And I got really
find a place.
Super annoyed.
Find a place.
So, but I buy everything on iTunes.
But if you do that
iTunes,
now.
iTunes, remember.
Yeah.
I'm like not a cheater and a liar when it comes to music. Like I buy
right,
everything.
Buy your
no,
music.
And that's wonderful. But no,
pay
but,
for your porn, pay for your music. And I'm a former porn beneficiary. So
That's fine. Yeah, it's a long story.
I got a pool out of it.
Involves a donkey.
One pool. Not, well, a
not, the, new,
pool.
Not the new pool.
Not
right.
the new pool. Well, new pool's got to be paid for by hard work and
somebody
not from hand jobs.
And late nights at a restaurant.
Yeah,
but no, that's true, Katie. Though you're younger than Al and I, so we've been collecting CDs forever.
Yeah,
so we have
oh
a library
gosh.
Not only in vinyl but also in CD. The younger generation,
I actually have a lot of my vinyl too.
Yeah, wow. True. So a lot of the younger generation who literally didn't have CDs, they've done it only through the cloud or through iTunes and whatever. They're in a different world because they only bought it through there. So if something goes to shit, their iTunes or their iPad or their Mac or whatever. They just re-download it.
Oh my God.
They're golden.
iTunes
if we had
but
to rebuy everything that we already own on CD, it would cost more than his pool. I mean, right. It's insane how much music we both have.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot of stuff.
Kelly has a lot of CDs and also a lot of like VHS, mm-hmm. which yeah. she will not get rid of.
I can't
CDs.
Do anything, and I can't do anything with the VHS, but I still hang on.
Like, oh, she won't get rid of it.
I still own two VCRs, and I just haven't taken the time to convert some of it. Yes, I can be on DVD, but like literally when we first got our VCR, like in 81, and we had cable. I laid on the floor and I would like, remember Night Tracks?
Oh, record
and,
everything.
And all the video shows that were on like WTBS and VH1.
And now they're classics. And you've, right. Because there's stuff that comes on that all the, and we, last year I made him sit through the whole thing. Like Diana Ross live at Caesar's Palace from the 70s
right.
on
yeah.
HBO.
Right.
Oh my
gosh. I would get the HBO guide, which used to come with your cable bill. And I mm-hmm. would figure out every time that Live from Caesar's, Diana Ross, 1978 was going to be on and I would watch it. Hadn't seen it since. They never re-aired it. And yeah. I went to New York and yelled at the people at HBO Studios. I went to HBO Studios and I'm like, here's a list of all the things you've shown. Liza from
you
London.
You need to redo.
Yeah.
Right.
Not redo, but get them available on
show
DVD.
It again.
Yeah.
And they're like,
show
no one owns the rights. The rights of these are in limbo. So no, you'll never see them again. Well, thank God someone had a Betamax in the 70s and taped it. And it was on YouTube one day.
Oh,
and I
gosh.
Said to him, I'm like, I knew the opening credits. I knew exactly
shot
when.
For shot. He knew it.
I had memorized that from
just watched it
a 12-year-old child or 10-year-old,
right.
11-year-old child. I had memorized
stoned
that special.
Stoned in a basement.
No, I wasn't stoned. I was only 11. But I knew that show shot for shot. And I was so excited. And my nipples get hard. I get so excited. She walked out of a they had a giant picture of her on the screen while she's doing the talk over of Ain't No Mountain High Enough. And all of a sudden,
out of it. Yeah.
It was a picture of her in a white dress, and then the lights changed, and it was her in the white dress, mm-hmm. and she just walked down the stairs, and I was like, "What, I'm a drag queen!"
And look at you!
I want to do that.
You get so excited,
Oh, yeah. And I made him come over and watch it. And I'm like, I could probably do some of the choreography with you because I would like
totally. And he did. He knew exactly. Like I said, shot for shot of what was going
to
happen.
Like, yeah. Oh, and the because they had microphones with cords, so you had to be able to choreograph your dances with a cord. Oh, fantastic!
Yeah. But going back to the original topic, if you can store your
save
shit,
it, yeah.
save your shit.
That's not hoarding. It's not hoarding if it's entertainment.
No.
If it's old newspapers, that's hoarding. And if there's cats living in it, it's hoarding.
If it's like Tiger Beat, that's a problem.
But unless, I mean, if you've got unlimited funding and you want to just rebuy everything, knock yourself out, get rid of your CDs. But I can't even imagine. With all the vinyl from my mom, the vinyl that I own, plus my CDs, and doesn't even go into cassettes. I have so much fucking shit that I could never replace it all.
Yeah, and I transferred most of it to the current thing. I've transferred almost everything to CD. There's a couple things that I just like the artwork of. And then the thing that's lost now is like the actual
album artwork.
Concept album. Mm-hmm. Like you can't buy Dark Side of the Moon by Pink Floyd and buy one song because you like that one song.
Right.
You need to listen to the whole thing.
Right.
Yeah. You need to put your headphones on, smoke something, drink something, and just take that journey. Like
I think Jason got it. He's heard it so many times on a Sunday morning at my house. And I know I've posted this, Al, on Facebook and you've seen it. The best way to start a Sunday to me is just to start the Donna Summer Live and More concert and just get ready to start your day.
And then The Cloud hits. And The Cloud took over that album now because I haven't listened to it since The Cloud took it, finds a better version, and sends it back.
I didn't know there was a better version.
Oh, okay. I didn't either.
Okay, what happened?
Here's
there is
Live and More by Donna Summer.
1978 concert.
Yeah.
I'm iTunesing it.
Buy
right
the
now.
Whole album on iTunes, but don't buy Live and More Encore. I mean, buy Live and More Encore, but you want Live and More. Oh, my God. The sounds, the rhythm section.
Oh, I want to hear that.
The full thing. Oh, my God.
I can't
that day that you did, the day that you posted it, I went and listened to... I picked Live and More, and I took it off. I took it off shuffle,
mm-hmm.
and I listened to it its entirety
all the way through.
And I had it cranked up, and I was like talking to my photographer. Come on over here, Alfie. I was doing the whole fucking show.
Yeah, I like how you think she says Alfie, and then I like.
I don't
how
know what
that.
She really says, but in my mind, she says Alfie. Yeah.
That's it.
All right. So moving on from this, this one is for Tyler, because you're a teacher. There is a new documentary by Oliver Stone that hopefully will, because it's on Showtime, so hopefully when it comes out on video, I'll see it. It's called The Untold History of the United States by Oliver Stone, and he goes through and he just gives you documentary about American history, and it's kind of like from a dyed-in-the-wool Republican who was very conservative, went and fought in Vietnam, got disillusioned, and has questions about America's history and like how things happen. So... it's very, very interesting. like how we dropped the atomic bomb, the chain of events that led to something we were never going to do, and the fact that it was a political convention where they still chose the vice president separately, that the man who had been vice president for all of Roosevelt's career was pro-labor, anti-imperialist. He did not believe in England having kingdoms. Very, very, very pro-labor. And the Southern Democrats, who are very much like the current Republicans, Southern Democrats back then, were the other way. They blocked him, and they like rigged ballots and shut down the convention back when conventions were like exciting and people were voting and you didn't know who the vice president was going to be. He rigged the voting, and they got an unknown senator from Missouri just because no one hated him. That was his only claim to fame. Wow. He was a failed businessman. He ran as senator because this guy said, I can make anybody win. I am such a political machine that I can take a nobody off the street and make them a U.S. senator. And he did. It was a failed businessman who had never had one good thing happen to him his entire life. Harry Truman.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
He became vice president through last convention. He knew nothing of any of the... He knew nothing at all about everything that was going on between, because we were on Russia's side. Right. Stalin, Churchill, and Roosevelt had been negotiating for years a peace, and they had been negotiating all over the world. They were in Tehran. They were in Casablanca. Right. They traveled all over the world and brokered these different pieces of the puzzle. America hesitated to invade. Russia was fighting the Germans from the east over and over and over and over and losing. And they said, please invade from the west. We need you to, like, take Hitler's focus off us. We're losing. We're dying by the millions. And America and Britain wouldn't do it. We didn't trust them yet. So they were our allies. So all this happens. Truman only met Roosevelt twice. He was only vice president for 88 days, became president. He bought all the shit about the communist thing, did not know that Stalin was much more our ally than Churchill was. We were on the same page with Stalin, but he never got that memo. He had never met Roosevelt. Wow. And so we went this whole different way. Like the Russians had said, if you do this, we will invade Japan from our western border, our eastern border. Okay. We'll go for Japan and help you out that way. But you have to invade from the West on your side, and then we'll invade from the West and invade Japan and go through Manchuria. Like, but we all have to help. And so, I mean, it's this untold history. And
what is this called?
It's called The Untold History of the United States. And it just tells you, like, history books can't have ambiguity.
Right.
George Washington has to, like, Abe Lincoln can't ever lie. But you have to teach Honest Abe. Like, you have to cheat. Right, when you're to young children, ambiguity is too hard. So this whole thing of, like, we have to be the good guys in every story. So it's a fascinating...
The Untold History?
The Untold History of the United States. And there's a book out that I read a few years ago called History the Way Your Teacher Never Taught You that gives you a little piece of, like, we can never teach Vietnam in school. Right. And I'll address that with Tyler. I hope he chimes in. Yep. That Vietnam, you can't teach it because we can't ever say how we really got in there and what we were doing there.
I have a thing about that. When I was in high school, I got real bored, you know, I got bored in general. But the idea that you're sitting there and how fucking sick of hearing about the War of 1812 am I? You know,
I grew up in the War of 1812's backyard, so that's all we fucking heard about.
I'm sure.
Is that like I grew up in a radio? Is it similar?
Similar.
Not, okay. But different. No, right. It was so frustrating because every year, you know, you're thinking, okay, I understand that we're learning about history, but we've learned that. Next, you know, what can we learn now? And my senior year, Dan Forrest was my teacher. And I just got so fucking sick of it because I raised my hand, would ask, you know, hey, what about Vietnam? What about, and I think at that
because
point.
Because your father was in Vietnam, right?
My dad wasn't in during that time. Okay. He didn't go, but he was in during that time. So was my mom. And
so hashtag not there.
Hashtag not there.
Hashtag drink.
Not there. Hashtag.
By the way, that's our
not there. Hashtag.
Yeah. That is our drinking word. Hashtag.
Absent from Vietnam. Hashtag.
For the backwards.
You know, right I didn't serve either. Hashtag.
I did not. Hashtag. But I was so pissed that they wouldn't tell us anymore. And again, I think they went up to the Korean War at that point. Maybe. Like it was something right in there. And finally, Dan, will you tell us about the Vietnam War? What are your thoughts? Because you were in there during that time, weren't you? Because he had alluded to these things. And he just sat there and he's like, I can't. And it was just very, you know, kind of shut up, kid. And I thought, well, fuck that. So I did. I got totally annoyed with him. So I just got up and I went out and I sat in the hallway. And it was like, here's the sit-in. So we had the end people Ooh. Like kind of knew. And so all of a sudden the hallway was crammed with people. And Dan was like, God damn it. Fucking Ryer. So he comes out and he's trying to get all the kids back in. And, you know, especially the good kids. I bet you're not meaning me, but the other ones.
Yeah.
And you know, he's like, they'll Fair. At least come in. No. And they were like, no. And they kind of looked to me and I was like, well, I'm not going in. He needs to tell us about Vietnam. And it was very interesting because I learned a really good lesson that day about the pressure on teachers that didn't even dawn on me because I was, what, 17? You know, we get back in there. Finally, I'm like, fine. He's like, I'll talk to you about Vietnam. Okay, I win. So we go back into the classroom. Oh, totally. Winning. Hashtag.
Yeah. H-A-S-H-T-H-G.
Hashtag. So we all go back in, and all of a sudden Dan Forrest looks up and he said, and you could tell that he was kind of tortured about this, that he couldn't talk about it, that there was so much he wanted to say.
It's not that you couldn't. It's that it's so confusing. No,
and that in 1988, he couldn't.
Oh, okay. That could be too.
I mean, that was really, he was like, we can't. It, what he said, I would love to, but I can't because there were so many people and it was so polarizing at that time still.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because of the like you said, your dad was in Vietnam, wasn't he? That was in 88. So, and my dad was 30. My dad was 38 when he died. But so he had been gone a year at that point. But that age, 38, I mean, really?
Right.
And so you have these families, these parents that are very strongly for or against. And if a teacher is standing up there, because there was nothing in the history books.
And I would bet you in 9 out of 10 of those, and this is not based on political party, none of them really know what they're talking about to be for or against. Mm-hmm. Because, like, some people are like, oh, go, but go who? Like, sure. What were we fighting? Like, you know what I mean? You're just kind of like, oh, I don't know.
But that was
like,
at a time when those people were, and now even still, it's not like that's just gone away, but those were people, and it was still fairly fresh,
right.
Of people that had been there. And so I think that's what a lot of it was. And Dan Forrest was there.
Yeah.
And he was like.
But it brought down, like, Lyndon B. Johnson couldn't run for re-election right. because he was pro-war, so he lost. Right. He lost the nomination for president because he was for finishing up in Vietnam. So the crazy thing is, like, Nixon won because he was kind of. But then he changed his whole position and he bombed Cambodia. But you're like, but what does Cambodia have to do with this? So, I mean, but there's a wonderful movie called The Quiet American that is.
I've heard of that, actually.
It's Michael Caine, possibly Oscar nominated, Brandon Glee. No, what's that guy's name? The hot young guy that was. He was a caveman or something. What's that guy's name? He was George
Fraser.
The Jungle. Brendan Fraser. Brendan Fraser is a journalist, okay. and what it is it's about all the little things that led up to getting all the ways they tricked the U.S. into involvement. So there's, but it's one of those things that's so. It's so crazy, but so it's an interesting documentary and stuff that I mean I'm sitting there, I'm like, Truman met Roosevelt twice. And he was vice president for 88 days. And they have all the sound clips. Like, they have the sound clip of the political boss from Missouri saying, I can get anyone elected to senator. And Truman was the fourth man he asked. He's like, I just want to prove that I can do it. So, I mean, this nothing's new. Like, nothing in politics is new. Karl Rove, turns out, was around in the 40s and probably before. Like, just crazy, but good.
Wow.
Interesting TV.
Don't confuse Quiet American with Drowsy Chaperone. Totally different.
Oh, but Drowsy Chaperone's a great
totally,
time.
I understand they're different. I'm not sure, but I understand.
Great time. All right, so that's it for my list. Sorry it took so long.
No, it's fantastic.
You're sorry for what?
Weird.
Yeah, weird. Hi. No, you're not.
Oh, but who's going to talk about Papa John and Denny's franchise backing away
got
from
it.
Obamacare comments?
Hashtag
do you? Is that you?
Got it.
I will leave it to your. I send it to you then.
Oh, and I have a whole backstory too. But I just figured it would have already been brought up. But go ahead, do your Denny's and Papa John's bashing.
Oh well, and also Applebee's.
Oh, I didn't know Applebee's was in this too. Is Red Lobster? Because Marnie will lose her fucking mind.
No, Buddy thinks Marnie will lose
her mind. But really, it's
really
her.
It's Katie Jill.
Oh, my God.
Soon as Clayton starts listening to this show.
I know. If you, just pay a little
hashtag
attention.
Tune in, Clayton.
Hashtag tune in.
So
you may already be a winner.
Oh, my God. Okay. That reminds me of my cruise ship.
Okay, step away from whatever that
no,
is.
No, I enjoy it. It's a new toy. It's this. It's, I got this
we
and
knew
that.
We knew that there was going to be a lot
we
of
we got high tech and low tech going on at the same time.
Keep talking.
Hashtag.
We got.
So,
and with me, no tech. So that's great. And that's a bonus.
No tag.
Or teabag is totally different.
All right, go ahead. Go for it. Go for it.
You know, it's just that. So it's the these new CEO, or not new, the CEOs are backing away from, or they're very anti-Obamacare. They're very Republican CEOs and whatever else. And so what they're saying is that, you know, it's going to cost them so much money to provide health care for their employees that they're going to now quit opening for. This is what the Applebee's CEO said. Well, I'm just going to have to quit opening franchises and I'm going to have to fire employees because I can't afford anymore. You know, I can't afford to give them healthcare.
Well,
and so, of course,
franchises aren't opened by him. They're opened by other people who invest their own money. So, first of all, that's
actually a good point. And perhaps I'm using the wrong term when I say franchises, but quit opening restaurants and, you know, firing people and I'm on a hiring freeze. And, you know, of course, what they're trying to do is punish the American public for Obamacare. But, you know,
with Papa John living in a castle, that picture did a lot of damage.
Yeah. Right,
Well, you know, and also what I read was that in the case of Papa John's, you know, not to mention living in a castle, but also they just did their 2 million
free pizzas
giveaway.
Oh, right.
We're
going to
give fucking football. Right. I mean, come on.
Because they don't get paid enough.
It's us.
And by the
like,
way, that's a lesbian saying fucking football, just so you know.
It is entertainment. It is entertainment. Right. And granted, it's a huge industry. And I get that football's a huge industry, but it's fucking entertainment.
But if you're going to give away 2 million free pizzas, send them to New York and New Jersey where people are living at the end.
According to whatever report that I heard, and I wish I had a source for this and I could look it up, is costs 4 cents per pizza for him to be able to provide.
Wow.
Okay. Four for, I mean.
No, no, no. By the way.
Either way. I thought it was four.
Even if it's 24 cents.
Just being clear, hashtag.
Now it sounds like name calling.
I know, right?
Just to be clear, hashtag.
You're such a hashtag.
You big hashtag.
But even, 14 or even 24 cents.
Even if it's 24 cents.
Okay.
Oh, no, I'm there.
You know, and here's where my thought on it. Because coming from having been a server, you know, in my background and, you know, working my fucking ass off. When you're waiter or waitress, bartender, a busser, a cook in any kind of a restaurant, you are working just as hard as anybody else's. You go to work every day, you pay your taxes, and you're getting paid less, right? You get paid a lower salary, and depending on the restaurant, I went to a restaurant when I was in Fort Lauderdale that our tab was for two of us to have a steak dinner. Oh, it's over $200.
Oh, my God.
Right?
Hi.
So that was a very big splurgy treat.
Sure.
But so those waiters are making the buku bucks. But when me at Hamburger Mary's, I was paying my bills barely.
$2.13 an hour is always
paying my bills based on tips. Mm-hmm. So, and I didn't have health care. I couldn't afford it. I couldn't take care. I just could not afford it. And it just seems to me...
And that's
bizarre.
A true small business. That's a true small business. When, you know, because in my mind, I'm just going to interrupt you for a second. In my mind.
Shocker. Hashtag interrupt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mitt Romney thinks Costco and Walmart are small businesses.
No.
You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
But right. Yes. No, I do.
Because I think his worldview is so skewed from reality that to him, a Walmart's is a small business.
No.
So continue.
And a true small business is a Hamburger Mary's.
Right.
Well,
exactly. I was waitressing and working in my community and not getting health care and could just
and
barely.
And working a 40-hour week and probably picking up extra hours
better. Every time. And I could barely afford to pay. You know, I could afford my bills. And I lived a really, like, low-budge lifestyle.
Right.
And
you knew where every drink special was in
I
town.
I did. Or I drank at my own work, and I got them for free.
Right, yeah.
Right.
But my point is that...
June, I didn't know you ever drank there.
Surprising.
That's weird. So,
I forgot. All three of us are Mary's alumni. Right. I forgot about that. All right,
And, but my thought, my point is in order to run your business, okay, Applebee's, in order to have your Applebee's restaurant on the corner, you have to have customers, right?
Right.
And in order to have customers, people have to be there to serve them.
Right.
So
right.
your business relies entirely on your wait staff, your cooks, your bartenders, your
that
bus
are all local residents of that same area.
That are all, no. yes, they're all local. They're busting their asses
they're
to
the
make
people that
ends
can't outsource the jobs.
Meet
That's right.
To make ends meet, and you are just saying, fuck you, I don't care about you, and I don't care about you so much that I'm going to prove a point to the government, no. and I'm going to fire you, or I'm not going to hire your friend or neighbor because I just want to prove a point.
Right. Okay. So here's the update. This all came out today, which is what the point that I was going to make.
Ooh, I can't
so
miss
the
this.
Update is Papa John. I fucking hate calling yeah. him that. It's like Joe yeah. Paterno. Joe
right,
Pop.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Anyways,
yeah.
Papa John came out now because the picture of him in the castle has been everywhere. Mm-hmm. His attitude has been on display. Obama won. Not being a sore loser, he's like, I just want to be clear that this was said in response to questions about what a business owner would do. He's like, I am not going to not offer my employees health care. Mm. I am not going to cut people down to 29 hours so they don't qualify, or 34 hours so they don't qualify as full time. He backed off everything today.
Wow.
He felt the brunt of yeah. social media because he realizes that his franchisees are small business owners
right.
that have three
right.
stores.
That's he's
that
not a small business owner.
His no. big fucking mouth is hurting his franchisees. And right. so his franchisees are like, people are going to Pizza Hut. There's a choice
right.
in shitty
right.
pizza.
Right.
And there's a yeah. right. there's a big choice in
right.
shitty
you got
pizza.
Domino's, yeah. you got Pizza Hut,
Little
you got
Caesars.
Little Caesars is like $5 for a pizza.
Or you could even go more local and go to somebody who just is
no.
a one
yes.
stand
but,
here locally.
And you always pay a little bit more. When
true.
You support
true.
Your
true
local
that.
Yep. pizzeria, it
true.
Is going to cost you a little bit more because it's a true small business that doesn't yeah. have a chain backing it up.
Right.
So Papa John
if
backed,
you don't want to call him that, his name is John Schnatter.
Schnatter? Yeah.
Schnatter? Just call him John.
It's European. John European pronunciation.
Hashtag.
He backed off that. So you know it's bad when that fucking fucker
oh, yeah.
comes out.
Yeah.
And the best thing is the other one, and the Applebee's still remains out in the... They're still out there because
like
no
the
one. I'm not sure where the Applebee's lies, whether it's a franchisee, but Denny's. Denny's
oh, yeah.
was the other one that was going to put the surcharge on, and you could
oh,
make your decision on how to tip because you were going to get a 4% service charge. Denny's corporate came out and said, this man.
Because that
is
was one
franchise.
Wasn't that one franchisee?
So
that was
Denny's
do that.
Came out and said, we need to explain what a franchisee is. We need
right.
to explain that this is not what we're doing. And we need you to stop boycotting Denny's because we are not cutting anyone's hours. So all of a sudden, the good thing about Obama being reelected and everyone realizing slowly but surely that Obamacare, it's the Affordable Care Act. It's not Obamacare. The Affordable Care Act is now the law of the land. Is everyone is slowly realizing you can't make $1 billion. And we'll get to Hostess in a second, too. You can't make $1 billion and then bitch about the workers.
Right. Oh, yeah.
About
yes.
their pay and deny them a decent living. So Denny's came around and Denny's was like, absolutely not. We do not begrudge anyone a living. The guy from Walmart was on TV today because Walmart
do not.
Yes. Clayton does not support this, but do not shop at Walmart. Do not
do
enter
not,
their doors.
That
do
was
do
a,
not park
do
in
not.
The parking lot. They do not pay livable wages.
That was
no.
an uncomfortable interview for that son of a bitch today.
Oh,
I saw that.
And he had
oh,
to say,
and he was really bad.
He was
oh,
sweating.
He was horrible.
He was bad.
You're employing people, but you're employing them at a poverty level, and then you're denying them health care. All you're going to do is die in poverty. Do not
Question.
Shop at Walmart. Do not shop at Walmart. Do not shop at Walmart. Do not shop
and
at Walmart.
They're making them work all things.
Yes.
All day on
well,
there's
supposed
to be a walkout coming
question.
Thursday night.
Yes, that's what I was going to ask
you. Do not support
Aaron
Walmart in any way, shape,
that,
or form.
That there was going with the Hostess thing that was going on. And
we'll get to Hostess
she, right. But she was talking about that brought up Walmart with her. And she said something about that they were waiting until Friday morning, but you're saying Thursday. Whatever,
well, because
Thursday
they're
night,
Thursday
Friday
night,
morning.
Friday morning,
but
yeah, midnight.
But they're trying to, okay, the whole thing is that, you know, Black Friday is
right.
going to be, you know, now it's Black Thursday.
It's almost Wednesday.
Afternoon.
It's almost Black
yeah.
Friday.
Really,
for God's
truly.
Sake.
It's a Black
I mean,
week.
It's a, yeah.
Black November.
Yeah.
For
yeah.
Not racial.
Hashtag.
Not, hashtag,
yeah.
not racial.
Hashtag, that's what he said.
Yeah, it's true.
There's
and,
that.
But they, but the Walmart thing, too, is that they want to, you know, Walmart's offering all of these like incredible doorbuster Thursday at 5 p.m. deals, and Walmart employees are going, go fuck yourself. Like, right. you do nothing for us, and right. we're taking our Thanksgiving. And that's what I thought I heard from the Walmart guy. And I heard a very snippet. I'm not kidding you. I've still had seasickness like today.
Oh,
so
no,
I was
no.
like, napping yeah. and horrible. But
I look at you now and I think you're sick.
That's called drunk.
Oh, drunk. Sure. Got it. You're
hashtag.
Yeah. Hashtag three beers deep. But I did see the guy saying, the Walmart guy, basically, it's that what I heard him saying, I thought, was basically, don't worry, everybody, we're still going to be open.
No, that's, I thought, and I
was, oh, no, sure. this, no, no, okay. this was about the wages that they're paying.
No, okay. no, but it was a twofold. He was covering his ass with, oh, don't worry, the specials are there, we're open, our hours, we're focusing on this, we're focusing on that. But he was backtracking the whole fucking time about that. And I watched it because I oddly watched that interview today on CNN.
Yeah.
And she's like, but your people are saying, and he's like, well, it's a small group. It's a small group of associates who are saying this, yada, yada, yada. But fear not. We will be open. We will be there. He just kept saying that and saying that. And regardless of whether or not I give a shit about Walmart or not, I was watching this. I'm like, this guy is scared for his life.
Oh, he was.
Because he's
yeah,
the,
not do well.
He's the poor bastard that they decided out of
business. He's not poor.
No, what I mean. Well, poor figuratively.
Yeah. Poor hashtag.
He's the poor son of a bitch that out of Bentonville, Arkansas, they decided, look, you're going to go out and talk to the national media, mm-hmm. and we're going to sit you in a backdrop that says Walmart on it, and you're going to suffer through however many national interviews you've got to do, but this is what you're going to do today. And when I saw
and this is what you're going to say, and this is all you're going
right.
to say.
So, Susan Malvo on CNN would throw him a question, and he would come back, and he would take it in, and he would start with but this is a small group, but we're going to be open on Friday. We're going to be open on Friday. And I was like, wow, he's just like a boomerang.
Yeah,
that's all he's doing.
He's a Republican talking point.
That's all he was doing. I don't even know if he's Republican or not. All I know is
when they're interviewed, they only have a talking point,
well,
and they
true.
Just always
it's
say the
like
same thing.
I felt like thing that you can refer
I felt
to.
Like he was a human shield for Walmart is what he was doing. Okay. He was sitting out there. All he was doing was saying whatever whoever said. Now, granted, I have a whole different view of Walmart only because I'm from the Midwest. I grew up 2 hours from Bentonville, Arkansas. When it started, it was a different world back
right, right.
then.
But it's now and it's 2012. It do not
no,
go there.
I understand
don't
I
give them
that.
Their money.
I agree with that. Now, in an effort for fair diversity, we're going to take a tiny, tiny, tiny break and come back. And we're going to talk about Hostess in just a mere seconds right here on Q Talk America.
You're listening to Q Talk Arizona.
Hi, it's Clayton McKee from Q Talk America. Would you like to receive 50% off your next purchase of an adult DVD, adventurous toy, or maybe even a new lube you've heard about and wanted to try? Well, now you can. Check out AdamMail.com, and you can receive 50% off just about any item. In addition to that great savings, AdamMail.com will also throw in 3 free all-male DVDs that's sure to get you in the mood. And they'll even throw in free shipping. All you have to do to take advantage of this special offer is go to AdamMail.com and use coupon code QTALK1. That's QTALK1. When you do, you'll get all 3 DVDs and free shipping for your entire order. Remember, that's AdamMail.com.
If you think it sucked so far, just wait till after this 30-second dance break.
And we are back. Oh my Ooh. God. That's like that's like Zumba.
Isn't it good?
Hashtag fat girl.
Now, Al, Ooh. Before we went to our 30-second dance break, you said Hostess was coming up.
Oh, well, because Hostess now is not taking everything off the market. It turns out, and we're doing this at the restaurant where I work at, where they're hiring these optimization committees to tell you, they spend billions of dollars to tell you how to save money when you're like, just fire the optimization,
Yes. people. Right,
my
right.
Gosh.
That's your first mistake.
They should let some gay guy come in and figure out how to fix all this shit.
So, right, exactly. So, Hostess, it turns out, with these labor negotiations, and that's why they said it was my father was part of the Bakers and Confectionery Union.
Well, your father used to work for Nabisco.
So it was called Bakers and Confectionery, and obviously the union has taken on different parts.
Because what are they now? They're
It's Bakers and Sugar, and now we throw things at you. It's a really long name. But, so what had happened was, and I am pro-union, like whenever you can buy something from a union, and I don't, unions aren't possible in Arizona, so my father would die if he knew that I lived here.
He knew you lived here.
Yeah, but he didn't realize the union part of it.
Oh.
Luckily, before that information came out, he was dead. Right. Luckily. So hashtag, I guess that's hashtag lucky. So I guess the Teamsters that deliver the Twinkies were okay with it, but the bakers were like, fuck no, we have given in enough. And so the bigwigs and hostess were like, well, then fine, fuck it. We're walking away from the table. We'll just close the company down. And it turns out the CEOs of Hostess were making like billions. And it is that 1% thing. Mm-hmm. They had given themselves 3 different raises during this negotiation. They had given the CEOs.
Over the year?
Over the year. They had given themselves raise after raise
Disgusting.
After raise. And were like denying, like making the truckers and the bakers take all these pay cuts and make all these concessions. Again, social media comes in. So I'm pro social media and I'm against social media. But social media came up, and then CNN did a thing about he's Matt Letibia, Matt to Billy. He's one of the Real Time with Bill Maher correspondents. And I'm not like just drinking the Kool-Aid of Bill Maher. I just like his show. But this Matt guy, he did a special, and so now it's come up that the people at Hostess realize Twinkie's going to go on. Somebody's going to buy that product and make it.
Of course they will.
Well, yeah. Somebody's going to do it. It's going to go on.
Well, Bimbo out of Mexico is prepared to buy all of it and be done.
Oh, right. Yeah. So the people at Hostess are like, all of a sudden, so who's going to be out of work? Not the people that know how to make them. It's the higher you go on the food chain that you're going to be left
out.
You're
fucked.
So now all of a sudden we're in renegotiation.
Sure we are.
And all of a sudden, and it really is. So if you have the chance or you can go to some kind of movement or be part of something, make your voice heard. Like there is something to be said for like those of us that are the working people coming together and getting our voice heard and saying, fuck no, Papa John. Mm-hmm. You can't live in a castle and deny the guy delivering my pizza health care.
Right.
You have to give up one stable of your horses.
Right.
Like, I'm sorry.
You can't have a 5-car garage.
Right. You can have a 5-car garage as long as everyone else that's working for you, helping you pay for that 5-car garage.
Can have a 1-car garage.
Is at least middle class.
Right. Sure.
Like, isn't living in abject poverty.
Well, sure. I can go to the doctor.
You know, you can't make the person that delivers your pizza pay for their own fucking gas. You know what I mean? That kind of shit. So I'm all stirred up.
No.
I like it.
No.
Which,
I would have been so good in the Bolshevik Revolution, you have no fucking idea.
Which brings me to my next.
Yes, go ahead, because it's not my list
item,
anymore.
Which is, guess what this Saturday is?
Bolshevik Revolution Day?
Saturday.
It is Small Business Saturday,
November
24th.
Oh, we should have been more prepared for this. Maybe let's go.
Small Business 24 hashtag.
Let's all Google a local business. Tyler, you give us a.
Tell you really quickly.
I had a hamburger and fries for $15 and felt emotionally molested.
He's very funny.
He is. Tyler, we are going to come. Tyler, we're going to come see you. We're going to do an on the air interview.
And he doesn't even drink.
Can we do this in Tennessee? We'll just take this.
No.
I didn't say I was bringing you people with me. I said I was going to visit.
No. I said that. Fuck off. Hashtag.
Hashtag. Fuck off.
Fuck off. You hashtag.
A S H T A G.
A hole.
Hashtag.
You're fucking funny.
So listen. So what? So fucking Walmart, right? We hate them. But again, I just want to go back to Small Business Saturday because it is super important for our local businesses here in Arizona. And our very own Buddy Early posted earlier today on his Facebook page about a whole host of incredible local businesses here in Phoenix that are
And remember, some things are franchisees. Some people are franchisees. So even though you think you may be at...
You're right.
You're supporting a small business because a franchise. Because I worked for a Taco Bell franchisee, so
I
worked for a small business owner that had
Pepsi
six stores. I didn't work for PepsiCo. I worked for a small business.
Even though being the Joan Crawford aficionado, you would have loved to have actually worked for PepsiCo at one point. Wouldn't you?
Of course, just for a minute.
Don't fuck with me, fellas.
I would just love to roll a Pepsi machine in and be like, "Drink this, fuckers," and it's $1 a jar.
This ain't my first time. The rodeo.
So yes,
go ahead.
Absolutely.
Katie, continue on.
Shop at let me just give you like a little rundown. Well, I mean,
and
it's
some
on
of
his
it's
page.
On the 23rd. The
some
first
of it
thing.
Is. Yep. But they've got at Cityscape. There's a big on the 23rd, like a big vintage market. There's like a big German thing happening on December 1st. So there's some other dates on his. A Festivus at Phoenix Public Market, which is a really fun.
Is that the one on across the street from Amsterdam downtown?
It is.
Okay,
it
got
is.
It. Right there and in Central do, and Roosevelt.
Yeah, and Ken Clark runs Festivus, and it's a big you know, local kind of craft and artisan event. It's super, super fun.
There's a really cute market right off the parking lot from that. It's like a public, I don't know if it's a public market because they're all
it
public.
Is. Yep.
But what's
the Phoenix
it?
Public Market is there.
Okay. Oh, is that what it's called?
Phoenix, yep.
Oh, it's didn't realize Phoenix that. Public okay,
market.
Didn't realize that.
But then on Wednesday, December 5th and Wednesday, December 12th, they're doing their big holiday thing.
Okay.
There's another thing called Crafteria over on the corner of Central and Camelback. That is right behind the Stinkweeds and the Francis and the Halo.
Oh, they have a parking lot behind there, right?
And Durant's is a local business. Please support
them. Absolutely, Durant's.
Absolutely.
Oh, I love Durant's.
Lovely Switch, place Tico's to go for the
are
holidays.
Good, yeah. Our good friends at Switch and Tico's, Fez. Tico's, Rebar.
Those
if
are all...
you are friends with our good friend Buddy Early,
yes,
look it up on Facebook, yeah, and he's got a whole list. It's very nice.
Well, I'll go ahead and put it on my page as well.
Yeah,
I wish we could call him and just talk to him live. That'd be fantastic. But the delay is, well, we could get to the local businesses before the delay kicks in.
Yes, we could.
Oh, Tyler writes, my God, Clayton must be quite confident. What? I don't get that.
What?
It's gonna be funny though when I catch on to it because I'm kind of slow.
Tyler, would you yes.
Elaborate.
I'm not sure.
And also, we are fucking Walmart. That is a yes, we are.
Oh, there it is. The local holiday shopping. Wow, there's the Vintage Market, Heritage Square, Phoenix
Tons
Public Market,
stuff.
Art Walk, Medlock Plaza, Biltmore Fashion Square, and there's also many, multiple local restaurant gift certificates available. Mm-hmm. So if you want to give a gift of food and or beverage, you can go to a lot of, go to devourphoenix.com. Those of you local, if you live in Tennessee or Washington or Scandinavia, then figure out your own local market.
Or buy us gift certificates from here.
Yes, send them here.
I love Fez, so anytime.
Okay, we have an updated.
You've ridden in a bike trailer to Fez before.
Yeah, I have.
We have an update.
What's the update?
Hostess bankruptcy mediation with the bakery, confectionery, tobacco workers, and grain millers.
That's what threw me off.
Oh, now what? Now that's all part of the movie and the book are called Barbarians at the Gate. That's when R.J. Reynolds bought Nabisco, and R.J. Reynolds was a cigarette company.
Right.
And that's when I told you about my family sitting at home collecting the checks.
Yes.
We felt like we were winning the lottery
because
they doubled the stock. So that's how tobacco workers got
I thought there was some oddity with the name of it.
Yeah, bakers and confectionaries because R.J. Reynolds.
All right. Talks
Hostess will not issue any further comment until a Wednesday hearing for the U.S. bankruptcy court. Talks broke down.
Really?
Bakery operations ceased last week. The product deliveries to stores continue in order to sell already made product. The company has blamed union wages and pension costs for contributing to its unprofitability. Hostess Chief Executive Gregory Rayborn, please Google him and find out how much he makes.
Exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah. The company's labor contracts have deterred would-be bidders for the company and its assets. Aside from its unionized workforce, analysts, bankers, and restructuring experts have said that a fleet of inefficient and out-of-date factories has eaten up costs. They have said the brand names were likely to be more valuable once they were separated from the factories and sold to non-union competitors. That's a dirty, dirty, dirty shame.
If the top of the, if the head brass,
and I'm from a family that definitely benefited from the bakers and confectionery union before tobacco.
How much money do they need to make?
Right.
Like,
right.
When is it? When do
right.
you
that's
say?
That's the Michael Moore. That's
when do you say, like, we're actually doing pretty fucking great?
Really?
Like,
yeah.
How much money do we really, right. really need to be making right. that we're just going to put all these people out of business? I'm sorry.
And that we think it's okay.
You and your family aren't profitable for us anymore because right. we're just not making enough.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I got a $2 billion bonus. And you know they're all going to have the parachutes, right? The golden parachutes.
Oh, the golden parachutes, yeah.
When they're done. And so, like, what? I mean, what more do they need?
I know. I was
like, they've got boats and planes and vacation homes and... What else?
Yeah. At what point is it enough?
What
you
else?
Start, yeah. So Matt Taibbi, T-A-I-B-B-I. This is he's a contributor for Rolling Stone. He's also a reporter for Real Time.
Oh, yeah.
He has... he's saying that the pensions and benefits are getting the blames for possible Hostess shutdown instead of the company's management, who he says is actually responsible for the Twinkie makers' woes. So if you get a chance, it is on HuffPost Business, Matt Taibbi, Hostess Incompetent. Watch the video. I mean, seriously, if you're anti-union, then you probably shouldn't be listening to the show.
Right. That's a really good point. Yeah.
Because the minute I minute I have a chance, I'm going to stand up on top of the table and put up my Norma Ray sign.
Exactly. Thank you very much, Norma Ray. She's a winner.
Yeah.
Norma Ray hashtag.
All right. So what are we going to do? Oh, obviously, are we going to go to somebody's list and what are we going to do?
I'm going to go make a drink. You guys talk amongst yourselves for just a second.
I have two more items.
Okay, go ahead. Keep going.
Okay. So
we have time to fill. So whatever the fuck you're going to say is going to
be good. The next one is, this makes me really sad. And what? I know I should be more like outraged, I feel like, as a parent. I'm really sad about it.
All right, now I got to sit back down.
I'm sorry.
I know where we're going.
Oh. I'm really sad.
And I purposely didn't bring this up in the headlines because I figured for sure you'd bring this up.
I'm sad about Elmo.
Oh, wait, and I left it for you.
I did too.
I'm sad about Elmo. I don't know clearly then you had it on your list. Kevin Clash, and yes. I'm sorry I had to bring it up. I will tell you, it is literally
I'm not sorry that you did.
What if you ever want Palmer,
yes,
to be able to hang out with and or hear Elmo. Yeah.
Oh my god!
Oh my god! What? Yeah.
Hey, I hear Sesame Street has an opening.
I'm going to be submitting.
He's found all the openings that Sesame Street has.
Kevin Clash. Hashtag.
Elmo doesn't understand.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Yeah.
He was fucking Michael Jackson.
No. What?
Wait, Clayton or Kevin Clash?
No, not me. I don't like Jesus juice.
Good.
I like Canadian juice with a Mexican
influence.
Exactly.
Yeah. So Palmer is obsessed. I was watching this video where they said that your daughter
can't walk up a step yet. She's obsessed with Elmo?
Obsessed.
Really?
We don't let her really do we don't really actually do a lot of TV for her, but when she does, she wants Elmo and she says Elmo.
Wow.
The girl can barely say any words, but she says Elmo.
Wow.
She has Elmo pajamas, she has Elmo toothbrush and toothpaste. She's getting Laugh Out Loud Elmo for Christmas and a big like stuffed Elmo.
What is Laugh Out Loud Elmo?
So it's remember Tickle Me Elmo? Elmo,
yes.
Of course. But Laugh Out Loud Elmo's kind of
also
the new
a position,
thing.
By the way. just to let you know, in case you
hashtag Tickle Me Elmo.
Exactly.
So Laugh Out Loud Elmo. So so he's like sitting up and you press his belly and falls backwards.
Oh.
Or you can take his little fishbowl, Dorothy, and you can squeeze Dorothy and then that.
Oh yeah, he
laugh.
Likes to feed Dorothy, I hear. Elmo does. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
And so I
no, one of Elmo's favorite things to do is to feed Dorothy.
Hashtag, I don't care.
Feed Dorothy.
It was in an interview.
Yeah, kids do. And anyway, we love, 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 love Elmo. And I read an interview that there are kids that will say Elmo before they'll say Mommy and Daddy. And
well, clearly you're in that position.
Yeah. We really, really are. She barely says anything. She says Elmo.
Yeah.
And I mean...
Yes, Tyler, I agree it does. Shut up.
What is he saying?
It brings a whole new meaning to touch me or tickle me, Elmo.
Isn't that a better meaning, though, really, Tyler? When you're thinking about a little tickle me.
How do you say it in Spanish? Tell me that.
Wait, how do you say what?
Tickle me, Elmo, in Spanish.
But did you know
Tickle-o, me, Elmo. Yeah, anyway, nobody cares.
Tickle-o?
No,
maybe.
So here, okay, but I agree with you. Now, where else are you going with
this?
Well,
I'm just really, okay. So this first guy came forward.
Right.
And said, it happened when I was 16. Oh, just kidding. He recanted. And who knows? They might have paid him off. Or
no,
I don't know.
From what the news reports say, he was paid $125,000 to recant his story. How, then this 24-year-old, 25-year-old man came forward. I saw the video footage of him today in the news conference.
It's Michael Jackson.
I thought it's
a woman.
Well, actually, I thought the man that was actually accusing was the attorney walking behind because I thought the guy with the long hair was the attorney.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck? Oh my God!
Da diva, looking
like,
for a little
yes.
15
so,
minutes,
right? And he has decided he's going to sue for $5 million. I don't okay. If
get
if,
real
again, this is alleged, and we all have to say alleged until it's all well and done. Because by the way, this week a new person came out this week to say that they killed OJ's wife.
Yeah,
but anyway,
heard about that.
But what I just think this stinks of. I'm just going to figure out how to get money out of you.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not. I don't know. I obviously
somebody else came forward, so now I'm going to
right. And now I'm going to figure out if I can get it. If you're going to be bought off for 125, I'm going to go for $5 million.
Right.
And then we're going to make this really bad.
Do you know what makes me hate myself a little bit though? Is I am totally on the side of the puppeteer, this Kevin Clash gentleman, and I hate it because then it makes me feel like all of the people in every other sex scandal that stands up for the accused And I'm always going, oh, what about the victims? What are the victims? And for some reason, now I'm on the side of the accused. Okay. And I don't know, like, why that's happening. I know why it's happening. Because Elmo is beloved in our home and Sesame Street is beloved.
I think you've got a two-part story here. One, you love Elmo, and Elmo has always been... Elmo as a puppet... And as a figure for 30 years, has had no issue whatsoever at all.
Elmo didn't sleep with a little
in a story. No, but I'm saying he has kept
the children, from the get-go, he developed
the character. The Children's Television Workshop, 80% of all of Sesame Street
is done by this guy.
By Elmo. Elmo is 75% of Sesame Street. He is so much of their marketing and so much of what they make from sales. Well, and
this
everything.
Guy is a director, a producer. Like right. He is so much of Sesame Street.
But what I go back to...
Cosquillame.
Huh?
Cosquillame means tickle me.
Cosquillame.
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 Hashtag.
You throw Spanish at me and I just get all quivery.
Cosquillame Elmo. Hashtag.
Oh, God damn it. You made me lose my point, son of a bitch.
Sorry.
So... You have
it's European.
You were saying like years and years and years of Elmo, right? You have all these years of Elmo being good and fabulous.
There were 2 points. The two. No. The 2 points were why you would defend him was two things. One, the affinity for Elmo, and I get that, and I totally understand. For 28 years, he was Elmo, and I get that. But I'm wondering, and maybe this is just us because again, we are our own community. He's a gay man. Mm. So are we championing, and I'm certainly not throwing him under the bus. So if by any weird fucked up reason he's listening to this podcast as opposed to anybody else, I'm not saying you're guilty by any means at all. I just think, are we looking at it differently because it's one of our own, if you will? He's not just a puppeteer. He's not just in the arts. He's not just on PBS. He's a gay man, and he's a gay black man. So mm-hmm. you've got a double minority. Mm-hmm. And are we looking at him differently because of that? However, I go back, show me proof. Show me something. Let that long-haired Nelly Queen show me proof that this really happened. Give me some sort of a backup and a time. I just think it's horrible.
Yeah.
Well, it just shows that the accusation ruins everything. Like, all you have to do is make the accusation.
Right.
J'accuse. I'll use the European phrase to make you more comfortable.
There we go.
Hashtag.
You fucking people.
Opera land.
Yeah. So, but that's what makes me sad about this is, like, really, did you just resign from a career of 28 years of doing the best thing that you could ever do for kids and just for entertainment?
Period. Just anyone.
Just for entertainment. Did you just resign from something that you didn't need to only because right now, for maybe the next 6 months?
You can't fuck around when you're with kids.
No, I understand.
The accusation is the entire crime.
So let's say in 6 months. Mm-hmm. So in 6 months, though, the Children's Television Workshop has come out and said that their 45th season will not be interrupted by this. Okay. What I'm wondering is, and trust me, I didn't bring this up purposely because it's a character, and that's why I wanted to jump on it, but I thought you all would malign me for doing this.
Mm-mm.
But it was... When I heard about this, I'm like, okay, so in 6 months...
You know there's a person with its hand up its ass.
Right, no. Okay. And The Onion came out with Elmo saying that he's no longer comfortable with working with a puppeteer.
Yeah, exactly.
Which was funny, but I had to bring that
up.
Yeah. But in 6 months...
God bless The Onion.
I'm going to be an optimistic. In 6 months, when this is done and it's resolved, that this little long-haired queen who decided he was going to scream rape, or alleged rape, or whatever the fuck we're doing... You know, and when you find out he was really 21 and everything was legitimate and everything was fine and he just wants $5 million because he saw somebody else try this shit, is he going to get his job back? Is he going to be validated?
No, you never know.
His life is now fucked.
Right, your life, and that's
50,
what we're saying.
50-some-odd years old.
You have to avoid anything that even, and teacher, like Tyler will tell us as a teacher, anything that even smells of impropriety, you have to get 55 miles away from it.
No, you're right. I agree.
You will be fucked.
The accusation is the entire trial.
No, you're right. And that's so sad. That is so sad because he is guilty until proven innocent at this point.
And will remain guilty.
When you work with children, that's all it's ever going to be.
That's right.
Right.
Look at Pee Wee Herman. He was an adult theater masturbating by himself.
Nothing to do with children.
And it killed his entire career.
Right. But you're right.
For 10 years.
But because of the Playhouse quote, that's why it became an issue.
Right, you're right.
Look, he's one of those.
But he
never touched. You can go to church every fucking Sunday.
Yeah.
But he never worked into the Catholic church.
He never touched a child. He did nothing.
Or another person.
Sorry, Catholics.
Because he was at the just
he
by
was
himself.
By himself. Yes.
Or transport children.
Someone found out that he masturbated, and that killed Pee Wee Herman.
Yeah, because Jerry Falwell never masturbated in his life.
No.
You can also transport kids across the border to Canada, entice them to do a video.
Right.
But yeah. You're going to be a Christian against the gays getting married.
That's right.
I think this is the most political I've ever been in a show. It's
902.
Like it.
Over Elmo. It's We found it.
Elmo makes it happen. Yay.
Hashtag.
I'm going to start submitting resumes tomorrow. I swear to God.
You can come over and play with my child.
I just mean as Elmo.
I've watched Elmo. Your child can't even walk through your front yard without falling down
at
this point.
That's actually true.
Jesus Christ.
So she's not dateable? What does that mean?
We'll be back. It's hour three coming up in just moments on Q Talk America.
You've been listening to The Show with Clayton McKee on Q Talk Arizona.